4.31.02. Notice is hereby given to the members of the State of Arizona Board of Examiners of Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers, Board, and to the general public that the Board will hold a regular monthly board meeting, which is open to the public on Monday, October 16th, 2023. Regular board meetings to be held at 1740 West Adams Street, Board Meeting Room C, Phoenix, Arizona, 85007 at 9 a.m. If you have not already, please put your phones on silent. Persons with a disability may request a reasonable accommodation, such as a sign language interpreter, by contacting Jack Confer at 602-542-8156 or through the Arizona Relay Service at 711. Please make your request as early as possible to allow time to arrange the accommodation. The board president reserves the right to change the order of the items listed on the agenda, except for matters scheduled at a specific time. Board members may be present by telephone. During the course of the meeting, the board, upon majority vote of a quorum of the members, may hold an executive session for the purposes of obtaining legal advice from the board's attorney on any matter listed on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A3 and for the purpose of discussion and or consideration of confidential material pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2. The executive session will be held immediately after the vote and will not be open to the public. As a reminder, the resident's name is always confidential. You must refer to the resident by their initials or by resident. Items that are referenced on the consent agenda may be considered as a single action unless a board member removes a specific item for review, discussion, and action separately from the other consent agenda items. The board will review, discuss, and take action on the following matters listed on the agenda. The agenda for October 16th, 2023, regular board meeting is as follows. Roll call, please.
Vice President Archer.
Here.
Member Campbell.
Present.
Member Stephen.
Present.
Member Cook.
Present.
Member Felix.
Here.
Member Coford.
Here.
And absent is President Kidder, Member Hill, and Member Brimhall.
Thank you. Declarations of conflict of interest. And I have a recusal on, item 7A7. Any other conflict of interest recusals?
Item 7C, number 20.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
And Member Archer, so we won't be able to hear those two matters since we won't have quorum. So if you may just want to release them. So
can we dismiss them? Okay. You can go. You have to stay.
Well, not dismiss the case, but allow them to leave here because you're not going to be able to hear the case.
We can't hear them, so they can sit here if they choose to. So that would be 7A7.
Is Kim Royce reared in here?
Yes.
You can be dismissed because we don't have a quorum.
Which puts us below what we need to review it. So unfortunately, we're going to have to postpone that matter until the next meeting.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
What was the other one?
7C20.
Very good.
So we'll pull that out when we get to that. Call to the public. Persons who want to address the board do not need to request permission in advance, but they do need to complete a request to speak to the board form so that the board is aware that they are here and they want to speak to the board. Each person who wants to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so. However, the board may limit the number of persons speaking on each issue to a reasonable number of persons. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.02H, The board can discuss or take action only on matters that are listed on the agenda. Board action on issues that are not listed on the agenda is limited to directing staff to study the matter or to reschedule the matter for further discussion at future board meeting. At this time, is there anybody who wishes to address the board who is not on this agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on. Thank you. Review, discussion, and possible action on approval of minutes. The board may vote to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382 to discuss confidential information, or ARS 38-431.0383 to receive legal advice. First one up is the draft of the regular meeting minutes on September 11th, 2023. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Was it Wally?
Campbell,
President Campbell?
Yeah.
Okay. Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coburn?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, next is the draft.
Madam Vice Chair,
yes,
may I interrupt, please? There were no executive session meetings from September,
okay.
So we need to remove that from the agenda, please.
Do we have to vote to remove it?
No.
Thank you. Okay. The regular business has taken place. We're going to move on to Section 7C, which is staff recommendations for dismissals. Is there anybody on this list that any of us would like pulled out to discuss further? C. Someone's for dismissal? Is there somebody you wanted to pull out?
For dismissal?
Yeah.
Katrina Brooks.
That's an applicant.
Oh, that's an applicant.
She's not on here.
So we're at 7C.
7C.
That last page.
For the board members, this is recommendation for dismissals. The vice president is out of order a little bit, so we're looking to see if anybody disagrees with the staff recommendation.
You're
for
fine.
Dismissal.
I move that we approve 1 through 19, 21 through 26.
Thank you.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, folks, if you are on the agenda under item 7C, the recommendation for dismissal, you are done unless you choose not to be dismissed. You're
so
done.
The recommendation for dismissal was accepted. The case has been dismissed.
Joining them. All right. Next, we're going to move on to B, staff recommendation. Sorry, 7B. So we are out of order. 7B, staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letter of concern. Is there anybody the board wishes to pull out of this list? Oh, okay.
Madam Vice President, this might be a good opportunity to see if there's people here for these that want to address the board as well. Good. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That was nice.
I'm trying to help.
I appreciate it. You don't have a gavel though.
I don't.
Of the list, 7B. Ortiz and number 4 Fletcher Cullen. Is anybody else from this list here? Of those, you're not. Oh yes, you are here. Jeanette Zarelli, number 8.
Dina Sonia.
She I think I had the list before she signed in. Yes, ma'am, who are you?
Sogan, S-O-G-A-N.
Seven, okay. So, of the people who are present in this list for a non-disciplinary letter of concern, is there somebody who wishes to address the board and try to change that outcome? That's the goal. Okay, anybody else?
Do you just want to call the people that are here one at a time, and if they want to come up and
okay,
and if not, you can just
okay
accept and move on.
What are we going to do with the ones that didn't bother to show up?
Well, they're
you just give them a letter of concern. I'm assuming they're not here because they were on the agenda for the letter of concern.
And
so they're accepting that. Okay. Then I guess we'll go down the list. David E. Thomas is not here. Graciela Ortiz, right, would you like to address the board?
No.
Okay. Bethany Park. Fletcher. Don't want to address the board. Beverly Jo Rodiger.
She's
not here. Marie Rodiguez.
Jerry, she's not here either.
Okay. Charlotte Soden, would you like to address the board? No. Jeanette Zarelli, would you like to address the board?
Yes, please.
Come on down. Do you want me to get rid of the others? Richard Barcia. Barcia. Yeah, I can talk. Okay. Would the board like to vote then to...
Yes.
Go to consent agenda, I mean to the letter of concern for 1 through 6, 1 through 7, and number 9. That's so moved?
Well, no, it would be 1 through 7 and then
1 through 7 and number 9.
And this is Sherita. She's 7.
This is number 8.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move that we accept the staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letter of concern for numbers 1 through 6, 7, and 9.
And number 9, and that's on agenda 7B. Do we have a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, now we will come back to B8, Mr. Zarelli, and we can hear from her. Let's find out what page this is.
Do we have to hear from Phil first?
We'll go from Phil first. Do you know what page we're on?
1482.
Thank you. Okay, Phil.
Okay, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0208. Licensee is Jeanette Zarelli, who's present here today. And on February 6, 2023, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection and complaint investigation at Red Mountain Assisted Living at Gilbert, located in Gilbert. The compliance inspection and complaint investigation identified 4 deficiencies in 3 different areas. Ms. Zarelli was noticed in the complaint. She did provide a written response. On approximately March 22, 2023, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for 1 substantiated violation. Staff did not believe this issue rise to the level of unprofessional conduct and recommended a letter of concern.
Okay. Thank you. And we can ask questions.
Well, we need to hear what she wants to say.
So yeah. Let's hear from you.
September of 22, the fingerprint license, the fingerprint renewal had changed. I didn't get any notification. I wasn't in tune into paying attention, I guess. And so I had 2 long-term employees, still have them, one for 11 years and one for 12 years. And prior to September, the rule changed on fingerprint renewals. You didn't have to renew anybody's fingerprints that was perpetually employed with you, and they are still employed today. So that is why I got cited for two fingerprints not being renewed. I would respectfully ask for a dismissal of it because it's already been handled. I have proof that next day they went and got the fingerprints done. They were cleared, and they're still employed with me today. Questions?
It appears that most of the citations kind of revolved around that concept,
yes.
That issue.
Yes. I usually had I still have a tracking system that reminds me every month who's due with what, and I follow it closely with our employees. We also have a checklist in the front of every file, employee file, and I have it for residents as well. And now that has been changed where the fingerprints is listed on this that's hung up in the file checklist, now ask for a date that it is due to it. So everything did get updated and changed, and I would ask for respectful dismissal on it, please. 30 years I've been doing this.
What's the reason that this ended up in an enforcement action with DHS?
Because everything regarding fingerprints goes to enforcement.
So you don't have a...
You don't have a say. You don't... You know, the rule changed in September. I wasn't aware of it or wasn't in tune with it. And the inspection came in February, and I didn't have any fingerprints outstanding. 10 employees, and everybody had their fingerprints except for the two full-time 11-year and 12-year employees didn't have renewals. I didn't know we had to now renew them.
Thank you for that. Can I ask another quick question?
Absolutely.
So the fingerprints that were cited by DHS had expired?
Correct.
So why did your follow-up system that you explained earlier with your list not work?
Because prior to February getting cited, on my checklist, it just said fingerprints. And if I had a valid fingerprint, check mark. Now it says fingerprints, check mark, date of expiration. I made that change now.
So you weren't followed, but your checklist, your follow-up, you know it's, that it was
expired.
Yeah,
now it's obviously
And when the rule changed, I believe that prior to that rule change, if somebody was a continuous employee, they did not have to get a renewed fingerprint card.
Yeah, it's their
fingerprint. That was in statute until the change in September.
I believe we've always required fingerprint cards to work in the facility even before that, correct?
Oh, it's not that
it's still part of the fingerprinting rule, and the manager always has to stay updated, but the employees did not.
Okay, so
they
yes.
had fingerprint cards.
They had fingerprint cards.
They were expired.
But they were expired.
They were
and under the older rule, as long as they maintained employment in that same setting, they did not have to renew.
That's crazy.
That always was.
Oh, that's crazy because they could go commit a felony and we not even know it until they do a fingerprint card.
I totally agree with you.
It's
totally
ridiculous.
Which is why they changed the rule. But prior to the rule changing, that's what everyone
did. That's what you did. I had some
first time I heard of it after 9 years I've been on this board.
I've brought it up several times before. In that, it wasn't. And so, DHS was citing people even before the rules changed erroneously.
So, I guess the board is presented with. There's been an enforcement action. DHS has taken an action, said it is a violation.
Right.
You've been presented with that violation. Now you have to determine whether or not a letter of concern is appropriate to the manager in this case.
She wasn't aware of the rule.
She should have been. She's the manager. She's responsible. I'm sorry. You're responsible, period.
So
So we have a motion then?
It'd be a motion to accept the recommendation from staff.
I move we accept the recommendation for staff.
Second.
Okay, roll call please.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Nay.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
So the board did vote to issue a letter concerning this particular case manager's rally. The staff will put that in writing to that out in the next couple of days. Thank you for coming down today.
No problem. Thank you for listening to me. But if you get a positive again, now you know that will change. Thank you.
Quick note to the people in the audience. The board vice president asked you to turn off your phones. I've heard two go off since he asked you to do that. Can you please double check that your phones are turned off? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. So we have cleared 7B. We're going back to 5, section 5. Everybody else who was present and decided not to speak, you are dismissed.
Thank you.
Your letter will come in the mail. Okay, number 5, review for discussion of possible action on administrator licensure and manager certification. As stated earlier, we may vote to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to discuss confidential information, or ARS 38-431.03A3 to receive legal advice if that comes up for any of these cases. The first one up for consideration is Veronica Weathers.
Can we please jump to our...
So that would be 6A.
For our settlement.
Yes.
Potential
okay.
Settlement. Yes.
Yes. If you would hang on for 1 second, please.
Sorry about that.
No, you're good. It is listed as number 3 on my. I beg your pardon. Okay. We're going to item 6A. Discussion, possible action on formal administrative hearing, proposed consent agreements, or motions to deem allegations admitted. The board may vote again to go into executive session, and we call now Adama Esculati to come up and do you have a page number on this one?
82.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Do what we need.
Okay. We're going to do introductions real quick, and then we'll...
Yeah, excellent. Seamus Monaghan, board members for the state, Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monaghan. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And then introduce yourself, please.
My name is Adama.
Oh, you've got to speak up a little bit.
My name is Adama.
Thank you, and... represented by
Sarah Sada for the
resident. Okay, did we get that written down? Okay. Mr. Moran, please.
I'd love to. Thank you, Madam Chair. Board members, so in your packet, you have a potential settlement agreement in front of you. Through her attorney, Ms. Esselchowdy, reached out after the last meeting and requested that there was some kind of settlement that could be presented to the board. In line with that, I will always present you settlement if it is, you know, asked by the respondent to give the board a crack at it before it goes forward to any other proceeding. What you have in front of you is pretty much your standard probationary agreement. The terms of it were put in to try to alleviate the board's issues in the original matter, as well as any questions of unregulatability. So you have a $500 civil penalty, 3 hours of environmental standards, emergency and disaster preparedness, 6 hours in ethics, 3 hours in resident rights. The matter also resolves the Superior Court Judicial Review Action and that it will be dismissed, and attorney's fees and costs will be handled by each client separately on their own. It will also reinstate Ms. Esochagi's license, but it will not, I mean, her certificate, but it will not be retroactive. So the time that she was revoked, and any violations that occurred during that time that the board may find out about later are not disposed of with this consent. If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer.
Do you have a question?
No.
No?
You may want to speak to.
Yes. Well, do you have an opening discussion to be heard?
Sure. I think that, you know, you've heard from us a few times, so I'm not going to go into the underlying agreement, but, you know, we did hear from you last time that you thought that my client was unregulatable, and so our goal here today was what regulations and commitments does the board need to see from my client to assure you that that's not the case. And so we did work with Chemist to come up with a set of guidelines that we think would show the board that she is in fact regulatable. And in an effort to achieve that, she has already started on some of these obligations. She did do a 3-hour ethics on Friday, and she will continue to move in that direction should the board accept this consent agreement.
Thank you. Anybody have questions for Ms. Esochagi? Thank you.
I'm sorry. I've had more practice.
Madam Vice Chair, Diane Didia for the record, serving as the board's independent legal advisor on this matter. So just to bring you all up to speed of the procedure of where we are in this matter. So this was a matter that complaint notice of hearing had been issued, and the hearing date was set. I believe that respondent had requested a few days before a continuance of the hearing. Mr. Confer advised her that she would need to call in or appear at the hearing to request from the board. It was like a 3-day, you know, over the weekend type of a continuance request. She did not attend the hearing or request a continuance from the board at that time. The board deemed, there was a motion to deem from the state, the board deemed those allegations as admitted in the complaint notice of hearing. I believe at that point, the respondent had retained counsel. Counsel filed a motion for rehearing or review. When that was set for the board entertained that motion, and no one appeared on behalf of the respondent. The board denied that motion for rehearing or review at that time. Then, respondent took advantage of her appellate rights and appealed this matter to the Superior Court. So right now, this matter is in the court system, in the Superior Court. Mr. Monahan and, I'm sorry.
Ms. Lavick.
Thank you. And respondent's counsel had worked on a stay, to have a stay in the court case to come back before the board and to really let the respondent speak to the board. That happened at last meeting, and the board, essentially it was a motion for a rehearing of a you know, denial of the rehearing motion. The board again denied that. So right now it still is in Superior Court. What this consent agreement would do is dispose of the matter both at the board level and at the Superior Court level. So, as Mr. Monahan had said, that the consent agreement would be for a 3-month stayed suspension. During that time, respondent would have CE credits to complete to the board's satisfaction, as well as a $500 civil penalty. What I want to make very clear for the record is that when respondent appealed this matter to the Superior Court, she did not request that the revocation, because the board had revoked her license when it deemed those allegations admitted. So she did not request a stay. What typically would happen is when a respondent or licensee appeals to the Superior Court, they request a stay, meaning that it's kind of in limbo. The license is not revoked at that time, pending the appellate rights. okay, the procedures. That didn't happen here. So she, her license right now is in revoked status. What this consent agreement would do, again, is it would be a state suspension for those 3 months, those terms and conditions, and then her license would be reinstated. Okay, so this would, number one, dispose of the board matter. She would have requirements to complete, and it would also take the Superior Court matter completely out. I believe that the consent agreement also requests that respond and file a motion to quash or the notice of appeal. So it would take care of the appeal as well. So that's something also to consider in accepting this consent agreement is the time and resources and money that it would take to see this through the court system, whether it be disposed of at the Superior Court or whether it would be appealed further to the Court of Appeals. And I'll just preface this whole thing by saying that if the board chooses, if they vote to go into executive session to receive further legal advice, because we're getting on that, I just wanted to bring you up to date on the procedure. So if you would like to do that, we can do that as well.
Make sure I heard what you said.
Sure.
Sometimes I don't. So her license will be suspended for 3 months. Or continue to be suspended for 3 months?
Well, let me just, if I can, Member Stephen, to correct you. It is revoked.
It's revoked.
Okay. The consent agreement would be what's called stays. Well, it's a state suspension. Essentially, it would be reinstated as of the effective date of this consent agreement. So as soon as the board signs it, it's now in a suspension, now no longer revoked, it's reinstated, but it's in a state suspension while she completes that. So she would be reinstated and be able to work.
Okay.
Does that help clarify?
And then she has to do the three courses that were 12 hours.
4 hours.
And that is above and beyond the current regular licensure requirements, so she wouldn't be able to turn around and use that for her renewal.
Okay. And that's a $500 fine.
Correct. And that's all got to be done within 3 months of the effective date of this.
Court gets the court out of it, gets us out of it.
Correct.
No further action is needed at that time.
That's absolutely correct. That's correct.
It's the state's position that this takes it out of the court and actually puts it back into your court. It would be the state's position that this board knows better how to handle these matters.
Madam Chair, I move to go into executive session. Should we vote?
Second. Do we vote on this?
Yes.
Second.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford? Motion passes.
Time is 9:50. We're back from executive session. Thank you. Thank you for your patience, everyone. So we have in front of us a consent agenda item that was negotiated with our state representative. Does anybody have questions or comments regarding what we have in front of us or what motions we would like to entertain?
I want to know why you just took your first ethics course a few days ago and that you hadn't done that sooner.
I heard about it. I didn't know that I have to do it much earlier than that.
Okay.
So when I received the reason that I have to do this, so I failed with ethics. So I didn't know that it would be a problem.
Okay. And I think I can help too, because they did reach out and say, you know, would it be beneficial if she started to complete the order, the consent agreement right now? And, you know, and it's obviously I'm not going to advise you, but because the board has not even reviewed it and approved it, it would be premature for you to go out in case the board did rejected the consent agreement. So that may also be a reason
why. But she did in fact go.
She already started.
Okay.
Yes.
But there had not been an order issued by this board that she do any continuing education prior to this settlement agreement.
There wasn't, no.
Can we ask why she didn't appear?
What? Absolutely. I can answer that for you.
Well, I'd like to hear from her.
Oh, go ahead.
She's the one that we need to hear from.
Why I didn't appear the last time?
Anytime.
Okay. I had a problem. My husband is sick. He has cancer.
Me too.
Okay, sorry for that. So, prior to the day of 13th of the hearing, I've already started chemo with my husband, which was continuous every day. Mm-hmm. So there is no way I could have break the treatment. So when I got it, I informed the owner of the business that I cannot because of the continuation of my husband's treatment. Then I still also got a letter from the neurologist telling them that the treatment is supposed to be continuous, no breakdown.
That's was this what? In 2021?
2020?
Yeah.
This is 2020.
Oh. I believe Ms. Ochagi was present for the very first initial review
in
of this
21?
Matter. Yes.
Yeah, I was present the first one.
In 2021, okay.
Yeah, so the second one was where I had this problem.
Okay.
And I couldn't come.
The day of the hearing.
Yeah.
Do you own the home?
I'm not the owner of the home. I'm the manager.
But you're not a manager now because your license
yes.
is revoked.
Yes.
And you've not been working.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Does the home have a manager at this point?
Since they asked me to withdraw my license, that it was revoked. To be honest with you, I don't know who is designated as the manager. Myself, I haven't been there.
I do believe staff has been in contact with the owner.
Did you pull your license?
Yes, I did.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
Well, I guess I don't know if it has. Tell me if it doesn't make any sense here. You pulled your license. Somebody's managing the home.
I came here.
If you know that.
I came here. I was asked to withdraw my license. And I obeyed the court. I withdraw my license. So once I withdrew my license, I haven't been working. I haven't been going.
So you don't really know.
She doesn't know.
Yeah.
The state would stipulate that once she took her license down, it's not her responsibility of who's manager or to know.
Right. Manager. You don't own the house, or your husband doesn't own the house.
Excuse me, sir.
Who owns the?
Is that not a project?
I need to interrupt. I'm sorry, from a staff perspective. I just want the board to understand we're. This is not a point when we start asking questions to determine whether or not to accept this consent agreement. We're going back in time. We're looking at the original allegations, the fact that it's been appealed to the Superior Court for the reasons it was, and we're making a determination on that information only, not new information coming into the record at this particular time. And I just don't want to, complicate the record more than we have so far. So, I would respectfully ask that the board get to the point of a motion to either accept or deny the consent agreement, and we can move on from there, please.
If there's nothing direct, I am prepared to make a motion.
Yes.
Ready?
Good.
Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B. Oh, I beg your pardon. Somebody gave me the wrong page. What was the page number?
81.
80. Thank you.
2.
Okay, rewind what I just said. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36.446.
The state would just request that the board make a motion to accept, reject, or modify the consent agreement.
I move that the board accept the consent agreement that was put in place by the state. Thank you.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Nay.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, board members.
Thank you. Board may vote to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382 to discuss confidential information, or ARS 38.431.0383 to receive legal advice. First up is Veronica Weathers. Who's presenting information here? These are the people up for.
This is applications.
Applications.
Well, thank you.
It's staff. Madam Vice President, members of the board, this is an application review. It's complaint number 2023-NCI-0567. We have the applicant, Veronica Weathers, here today. Thank you for joining us. Staff did not feel comfortable approving this particular application, and Ms. Weathers holds a current HSE, which is a health services executive license or certificate, and a nursing home license in Nevada. What came up in this review was a action that is on file. Disciplinary action is currently on file with the Nevada Board of Administrators. There was a survey done by their equivalent to DHS up there. They found some violations, and action was taken. And the question is whether or not that particular action is considered a restriction on her license or not. So you're looking at this application to decide whether or not it is a restriction, whether or not that restriction prohibits her from applying as an endorsement reciprocity applicant. Having said that, we can allow this applicant to apply by examination, which is a little different way of applying for an administrative license. But the board needs to look at that particular disciplinary action and decide whether or not that's a prohibition to obtain a license here, or you would consider issuing a license under some sort of similar consent agreement. I don't have anything further unless there's questions, and the applicant is available to respond to what happened up there. So,
and so can I clarify that we do have otherwise reciprocity with the state that the current license is with?
So the way our statutes are written, and Seamus is going to jump in here for advice, I'm sure, but we are not, basically we cannot license somebody as that has a restriction as a reciprocity / endorsement applicant.
Okay.
However, that does not prevent them from becoming licensed.
Okay.
But staff also wanted you to look at this particular action and decide whether or not it's a barrier or we need to jump that hurdle in some way.
In a short paragraph, can you describe the action that was taken and why?
I'll read you exactly what I presented to you in my application. So I was cited for deficiency, which was K-354 in my life safety code survey. That was conducted prior to the start of the survey. The Bureau accepted the plan of correction and did not resurvey the facility. It was a fire riser issue, so this happened during an unprecedented time. I won't hold my vendor accountable, just myself, because the safeguards that could have been put in place were not, because this was a time nobody had experienced. So what happened is the vendor came out to perform the fire riser inspection, found a deficiency or a repair that needed to be corrected, tagged it, sent the report over to an email that was not being used because they had a new system. They had a new system. So what happened is instead of being able to come into the building as they normally would have, they instead put it into their report builder system, shot the email over to an unused email address. In the past, they would normally just come into the building. But due to COVID, there were restrictions on nursing facilities, so they did not. Prior to my window opening for surveys, I always, maybe 2-3 months in advance, I'll go through all reports and all things, and I found this deficiency, contacted the vendor. They explained to me that they didn't realize this email went to an Gmail address versus our gayhaven.com when they created their new system. So, I had everything corrected literally that day. Everything was taken care of prior to the start of the survey. But it was a situation where a firewatch should have been put in place. It affected our fire system. So I was cited for it, although it was already repaired.
How did they know about it?
Because it was in the report.
What report?
The vendor's report. So the vendor would come out
for their inspection
and do their inspection. And what would have normally happened, they'd walk in, they'd say, hey, Veronica, come out, take a look at this, and this is what we found. They'd give me a quote. We would have them fix it, and we would move on as normal. Well, because the inspection was completed, it was completed, and I do have everything here. I can tell you the exact dates. But the inspection was performed in March. And February. The reports that I pulled were pre-pulled in March. I corrected everything right then. The survey was conducted May, 3 months later, but things were already addressed. I could go further to why I feel that this was placed on me as a complaint, but instead I felt like this should have been like more of an educational, trainable situation versus a punitive situation. So these new inspectors who came out, my facility was built in 1960, or it started in 1969. I taken over as owner administrator. They cited me the year before, I had 8 citations in life safety code. This year I had 28. New inspectors had no clue. They're grandfathered into things that mean the building looked out of code to them. So there were some dialogue and things that went on that I was trying to educate them on our building, because it was a unique situation. Everyone in the state of Nevada knew Gay Haven because it's the longest running facility. The inspectors, I would say, took this more, I mean, maybe in a demeaning way versus in a, you know, helping each other. And I feel that they sent this over to the Bureau as a complaint versus us working together in an educational, trainable way. And it was more punitive to me. Even the first question that I was asked by the board before they did their review was, did they come out to resurvey your building after finding 28 citations? They did not. There was never, and I have the documentation for that, and I'm sure you could have pulled it up because it's above the record. But there was no resurvey. They accepted my plan of correction, and I thought everything was over, and then here I come. In September of the same year is when the complaint was filed.
Administrator Withers, can you give the board an update on this particular action? The follow-up,
yes.
Where you are with the time frame. I think it was an 18-month.
It was an 18-month, which ended in June.
Thank you.
And I had, it was 4 hours of fire and safety emergency preparedness. I'm very big on education and keeping abreast of and being compliant, so I already had that certificate handed them, because these are things that I regularly do in my profession, because I'm very passionate and diligent about what I do. And these were all completed that particular day. It was just a time frame. And there was never an instance where we fell below a grade B. And nothing was ever, how do I say this? I've never, everything was satisfied.
So all the terms have been completed of this particular?
100%.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes.
More questions?
I mean, what's your intention here in Arizona? Are you still planning to be in Nevada, Utah, and
so it originally, I came to do interim work. There was a company that had hired me to be their interim administrator, and I didn't know this licensing process was going to take me so long. So, of course, they had to fill that position. Well, I'm a person that once I start something, I have to complete it. So I want to be available here. I'm licensed in Nevada, Utah, and I will prayerfully be licensed here in Arizona as well to be able to do the work that I like to do.
And just to piggyback on your reciprocity statute, it doesn't actually require the license. It could stand it, which is a little odd, but it doesn't. So your decision here is based on the reciprocity license, if you think that she meets the qualifications and that her education and training is the same as it would be here.
My license is in good standing. just to clarify.
Questions? Somebody have a motion? So I don't have to do them all?
It would just be a motion to grant licensure or to deny licensure. If you're going to deny, I'll walk through that.
I'll make the motion to move forward and approving the application.
Okay. Second.
Okay. Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up we have Katrina Brooks. And do they have page number?
Page 33.
Thank you. Thank you.
Members of the board, this is another application review. Case number 2023-NCI-0518. We have applicant Katrina Brooks present. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
On this particular case, we received an application for a manager certification on August 20th of 2023. Applicant Brooks has a valid fingerprint clearance card that was issued under a good cause exception on August 7th of 2023, and that expires in 2029. The application is currently administratively complete. At the time this report was written, she had still not taken the state jurisprudence exam. Applicant Brooks disclosed on her application that she had some prior criminal hits of both a felony and a misdemeanor nature. Those are specifically explained in your investigative report. I will answer questions if you have specific questions. I'm specifically looking at page 34 of the application report, which delineates the things I'm discussing. It is possible that because of the felony conviction, it might fall under a prohibited act according to board statute, and that statute that we'll be looking at is ARS 36-4469-PP. The recommendation of staff is to deny the applicant the manager certificate based upon the three statutes on page 34 and 35 of the investigative report. I don't have any questions unless there's any other. I don't have any other statements unless there's any questions from the board. And the applicant is here to respond directly to any questions that you may have.
Let's see, Ms. Brooks, can you tell us the last date? How far back in time are we going here? The last date of any?
2004, yes.
Was the end of?
Yes.
This track record you have? Okay. What are you doing currently?
I've been a CNA in the medical field for the last 8 years. I moved to Iowa, which is where I got my CNA certification. I have been at the same facility for that 8 years once I got my certification. I have worked in several departments in that facility. I did the transfer training, I did management orientation. I developed a very, very good rapport with all of my work staff, my immediate supervisors, as well as my direct supervisors. I moved here because I have a family member who is opening an assisted living facility and thought that I would be a great fit for this particular facility. And so I moved here as a result, and I've been pursuing trying to get my management license since I got here in April.
Can you give the board a little bit of just kind of the rehabilitation history? They might appreciate hearing.
Sure.
A little bit about that story.
In 2005, I went to treatment, got cleaned and clean ever since, and have been went to school. I intend on going back to school so that I can get my bachelor's degree. I'm nervous, please forgive me. My bachelor's of science, which is what I would like to go back to school for. I was also considering administration. But a lot of that is going to be contingent on what happens today.
Where did you go to school? What year was that one?
I went to Chicago State from 2009 to 2011. And then I moved down to Iowa in 2013. And I moved here this year of April.
When did you get your CNA?
2017.
Okay. And that's in Iowa?
No, I'm sorry, 2015.
2015.
Yes.
And that's in Iowa?
Yes. Okay. And prior to moving here, I had already started my process for transferring my certification from Iowa to here. That was all done before I got here. Once I did get here, that's when I found out about the fingerprint card. I was kind of thrown back a little bit before that, but they did make a way for me to still be able to get it with the good cause, and I was hoping that that would also be a basis to be able to approve me for my bachelor's.
And so you're certified as a CNA here in Arizona?
Correct.
Do the rest of the problem.
Caregiver, I have my caregiver certification here as well.
Thank you.
Yes.
two adult children that are both also doing well. They fared well through this, through the entire process of my getting myself together and going through the things that I had to go through in order to become the person that I am today. I'm not happy about all the things that I had to go through to get where I am, but I know that they did make me become the person that I am today. Bad decisions sometimes happen to people. It's just what we do to rectify
them. And we've always sort of looked at that. It's not about where you were or who you were. It's where you're going.
Exactly.
So my main question then, and I don't know if this is advice or just a general question, is there something here that is that prohibits us?
I think that as a board, you may want to ask your assistant attorney general whether or not it's a true felony bar and whether or not it applies to this particular application.
That is what I would like to ask.
I think the board has the discretion to look at each application, interpret those facts, and decide whether or not it's actually rises to that level of a hit or of a conviction, but I'm going to let Seamus.
Is that something we can answer here, or do we need executive session for those questions?
Well, why don't we start talking about it, and we'll see.
Let's see how it goes. Okay, we'll let you start talking then.
Well, we need to figure out, so which conviction specifically are we talking about?
Which one is the felony, or?
Well, the one that, I mean, I have our ARS, which is cited, so I'm not sure what reference, where that goes back to in the
1984 and 1995.
In that timeline, okay, thank you. The
1984 issue and the 1995 issue, that's what I'm concerned with as it relates to the felony statute that we're trying to deal with.
So 84.
I was 17 at the time.
So 17 felony and
that
4 years of probation.
Yeah, I was 17 when that happened. So I was young and very undecided. And from that point, I hadn't been arrested for 11 years.
Well, I understand that.
Let's give the board a minute or two to discuss this. Okay, bear with us. Thank you.
And point is, we have some new statutes that we have guidelines to follow.
So, Seamus, I think what the board is specifically looking at is April 24th of 1984.
And
which was 4 years probation. That's the one that's specifically called out in the application investigative report.
And what was the ultimate disposition of that? I see that it was conviction of a felony, but was it lowered? Was it dropped to a misdemeanor?
It was dropped to
misdemeanor one.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then 95 was listed as a felony, and 96 was listed as a felony. So I guess it's, were those charges dropped or changed or whatever, so we have a little more flexibility if we wish.
Yes.
They were.
And what I see is a difference. The first one, which would have been an actual robbery, is different than possession of controlled substance, which we don't necessarily have a felony bar on that concept. And so the first one is, I think, the one that's under consideration, and upon disposition, it was dropped to a misdemeanor one.
Yes.
So that changes how we can view it. Is that correct?
Yes. That is correct.
So we don't have to still consider it as a felony that would be barred by our new rules.
No.
Other questions?
Is that 84 or
yes? Yeah.
all of
them. No, that's the one from 83, and that's the main one that is.
But I have at least I took off the report. If I'm wrong, let me know again. 95, there was a felony charge, and in 96, there was a felony charge that led to 3 years in the Department of Corrections.
And those were controlled substance charges, which are not felony barred.
That doesn't fall under our statute.
Okay. Violence or fraud.
Okay.
Violence or fraud, right?
Okay.
That's the distinction. Does that answer?
Yes, that helps.
Other questions or concerns?
So what you'd be looking at, if you did decide that you wanted to potentially deny this license, it would be for committing an act in 1984 that was a conviction of a misdemeanor involving moral turpitude, because robbery is under the moral turpitude statute there.
Right.
So if you wanted to deny, however, you do have the
in legal, 84.
Yes, in 1984. You also want to articulate why.
Yes. And the last issue with the law at all was in 2004. So nearly 20 years.
Yes.
You can issue if you choose, you can grant the license with certain terms, probationary terms, with the understanding that would be reported to the National Practitioners Database. It's also another option to have, or you can issue the license outright or deny.
So, or do you feel it's necessary for you to further protect the public if this manager is working in Arizona under a manager's certificate or has the time, and what she's done since then, gone to school, work in CNA, does that show you that she's rehabilitated herself and she can work in our assisted living facilities?
Mm-hmm.
Manage people and patients.
I'm prepared to make a motion if somebody has more. I would move that we grant the certificate, granted all administrative requirements and terms have been met. Have you passed the test?
I will take the test as soon as we finish it here.
And you will pass it. So,
yes, I will.
So upon passing the state exam and the time frame and all of that, that we would grant certificate to Ms. Katrina Brooks.
Thank you so much.
And a second?
Second.
Hey, Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Thank you so much. Run now while you can. We love our job.
If you want,
what's our next one?
Karina Villacorta. Villacorta?
Applicant Villacorta, thank you. Members of the board, this is the case number 2023-NCI-0568. We have advocate Katrina Villacorta here in front of you. Thank you for appearing today. The reason this application is, this is an application for an assisted living facility manager certificate. The applicant does have a valid fingerprint clearance card that was issued in October of 2020, expires in 2026. This application is currently administratively complete. As of the date of this report, the applicant had not yet taken or passed in the board exam. I don't know if that's changed. Has that changed?
I do have to retake it next month. I took it.
Okay, so it took it one time and is going to come back for another attempt. The applicant disclosed on her application that she had been arrested on September 22nd. 2012 by Phoenix PD for ag assault, domestic violence. Page 67 in your materials goes into some of the details of that. But she does have a current fingerprint clearance card that was issued without an exception, I believe. Is that correct?
It's a good cause exception.
You got a good cause exception on that one, too. Thank you. It was originally set up as a Class 6 undesignated felony that was later reduced to a Class 1 misdemeanor. I believe all probationary terms and counseling has been completed by now, and that termination of the probation was on October 31st, 2013. The applicant did respond and gave an explanation of that. Again, that's on page 67 of the report if you want to read it. Staff recommendation is to approve this one as long as that felony conviction that was reduced to a misdemeanor is not a bar from holding the manager's certificate. I don't have anything further unless you have any questions for me.
So, counsel, if I, it would be the same scenario in that what it started as is not what it ended as, yeah. So we're at a misdemeanor level.
And it is a misdemeanor involving moral turpitude, so okay. You can take that into account. But you may want to ask about the situation.
Yeah, so we have in front of us the events that took place. What is different now? What have you done since then?
Well, that was a completely isolated incident from a relationship that I was in the past that after that incident completely ended. I've been employed with my organization for 17 years. I've never been in any kind of trouble. I completed the probationary period and was actually taken off early for good behavior. I completed all of my classes and requirements, paid all court fees and everything associated with that, and have not been in any kind of other legal issue ever since. I've worked in healthcare since I was 23 years old. It's what I love to do, what I'm passionate about, and it was just unfortunately a mistake.
And so you're currently, you would be hanging, is this for a manager?
Yes.
Certificate?
Yes.
And so where you're working currently, they would have you?
That is the goal, yes.
To be their manager?
Yes.
Questions?
Did I understand that you took the exam once and did not pass?
Correct.
So you still have to do that?
Yes, and it's scheduled for November 2nd or November 6th. Yeah. Yes.
Got a motion?
I make a motion to approve Katrina Villacorta for assisted living manager's license pending completion successfully of the exam for that position.
Second.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Nay.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Cofer?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Do we need a break?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be nice.
We're going to take a 10-minute break. Time is 10:30. We'll see you at 10:40. Okay, we are back in session, 10:40, as promised. We are now on section 7. Consent agenda item, review, discussion, and possible action on complaint cases. The board may vote to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382 to discuss confidential information. ARS 38-431.0383 to receive legal advice. The name of the resident is confidential. In public session, the board members, staff, and the licensee should refer to the resident as either resident or use the initials, please. The board may block vote as desired. So, according to our sign-in list, we have Maria Quinney here. We have Heather Dawn Hildreth.
Here.
We have Lenora Chapman. Thank you. We have Filarazzi di Corno Australia. Sorry about that. Okay. Evelyn Flores. Ruben Sanda. Loretta Rivera.
Nancy Majori, thank you, and Barbara Stein. Okay. Is there anybody else in that section who is here that just did not sign in? Okay. I'm going to propose a block vote for that we approve the consent agenda that was put forward by staff on items 7A, 2, 5, 9, 11, 12, 13, 14, 18, 19, and 20.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. So those will be mailed out and look for signatures.
We have a Loretta Rivera. There are three complaints on her.
Rivera does?
Yeah. She's got 15, 19, and 20.
Oh, yes.
So you might want to.
Do you want to rescind your motion or remake that motion? Yeah.
And so what do we need
she's
to do?
She's here. You need to talk.
Oh, I see.
I just rescind your motion and remake it without 19 and 20.
Okay. So I will revise that motion and remove.
Point of order.
Yeah.
We need a motion to rescind.
Okay.
Second, a vote, and then make the new motion.
Got it.
Thank you.
I rescind the previous motion.
Motion to rescind. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion. New motion. That we approve the consent agenda, consent agreement as stated by staff for items 2, 5, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 18. And 9.
Second.
Thank you.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. With permission from everybody, I would like to move to number 8. Does anybody else on who we're going to hear from have a lawyer present with them? Thank you. Number 8, what page? Getting these handed out. Thank you for being here. Can you state your name for the record, please?
Good morning. My name is Evelyn Flores.
Evelyn Flores. Thank you. And counsel?
And my name is Jennifer Wasserman with Davis Miles McGuire Gardner. And I am passing out a summary timeline with a very brief statement on the top, as well as supporting information in a paperclip packet for the board members, as well as for staff. And then once you've had a chance to, do you have extra? Okay. I mean, we don't have as many board members here today as what I anticipated, so I think we do have some extra.
We're here today on matter number 2023 NCI 0192.
Can I present the case? First we're going to hear from staff regarding the case, and then we will move on.
Okay, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0192. Licensee is Evelyn Flores, who is present here today with the attorney. And on December 12, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility complaint investigation at Happy Gallery Assisted Living, LLC, located in Phoenix. The complaint investigation identified six deficiencies in four different areas. The licensee, Ms. Flores, was notified of the complaint and did provide a written response, although the written response did not provide any information to help with the investigations, since she said she had stopped working there on December 8th of 2022, which was approximately 4 days prior to this complaint investigation. It's noted that DHS took enforcement action on approximately March 28th, 2023, and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,500 for one substantiated violation. And Ms. Flores is here today to just discuss the matter.
Thank you.
What's the staff recommendation on this, Phil?
There's a recommendation of consent agreement for 3 hours of continuing education in record keeping, as well as a reimbursement of investigative costs.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Would you like to open with the presentation?
Yes, if I may make a preliminary statement, Madam Chairman. So it's our position that we should not even be here today, because this matter is duplicative of a matter that has already been handled by the board in August, for which Ms. Flores has signed a consent agreement and completed her term of probation. So if you have what you have before you is a timeline to hopefully streamline this case. I know the packet looks a little thick, in order to condense it down to the Cliff Note version, very early December, around December 6th, the Arizona Department of Health Services, which I'll call DHS, received a complaint from a family member of a resident at Happy Gallery. Okay? Just the very next day, December 7th, DHS forwarded that complaint to NCIA board through the portal. Staff opened matter number 2022 NCI 0566. Okay, now the allegations in the family complaint, which came over from DHS, not from the family member directly to NCIA board, but from DHS to the NCIA board, has the allegations and the bullet points that you see in your right hand column starting on page 1 and on to page 2. Ms. Flores responded immediately the very next day with a very lengthy response to complaint number 0566 before the NCIA board. She had indicated she was on vacation at the time of the incident. She had resigned from that facility because the manager delegee nor the owner had advised her of the alleged incidents that occurred in that family complaint. That is contained in your record in matter number 0566. A week later, after she already responded to the NCIA board, DHS decides it's going to go out on site to initiate an investigation at Happy Gallery at the facility. So prior to DHS even going to start its initiation, it forwarded the complaint to your board, which you duly opened as 0566. And let me back up a step or two and say, we completely respect the board's mission. We understand, your role with respect to supervising managers. But in this instance, the board was initiating a complaint investigation simultaneously, prior to DHS initiating its investigation of the family complaint. Now, the family complaint was assigned a number, which is the AZ0018812, by the Department of Health Services, and then an enforcement agreement was sent
on that same complaint investigation regarding the same set of circumstances that the family complained to DHS about on March 10th. Around March 28th, the enforcement agreement is completely signed by the representative of the home where she no longer works because she had resigned in early December. And then that enforcement action was relayed, according to the interagency agreement, to the NCIA board. The NCIA board staff opened a new complaint, and that is the one that we're here talking about today. That's number 0192. The new complaint is based on the same exact set of facts that were alleged in the DHS complaint that were investigated on December 12th of 2022. That did have an enforcement action, but it also found certain allegations were substantiated, other ones were not substantiated. There were six deficiencies cited. One of the things the family complained about when they complained to DHS was that the personnel caregivers were not readily accessible to the residents. The item that was cited as a citation by DHS was involving personnel records that basically the DHS could not verify that the caregivers on staff at the time of the DHS inspection, December 12th, had actually proper caregiver certificates. So essentially it is the same thing, that there were not caregivers readily accessible to the residents. However, resident family doesn't understand the regs. DHS is looking at their regs and their personnel records, made that citation, and made other findings with respect to the family complaint that was made in early December. So what you have here are two duplicative streams of NCIA actions against this one manager. So in April, NCIA board notified her about this new complaint, the one that we're here for today, 0192. And in June, Mr. Smith, and again, I totally respect his workload, but I do have access, based upon public records, of a summary that was provided to your board prior to the August 2023 meeting. And in that summary, it says, a check of the DHS website did not indicate that that agency has taken any action as a result of the complaint they received from Ms. C. That is inaccurate. Not only was that available on the DHS website, but that was the impetus.
Do you have
impetus.
That, do you have that,
that is in
screenshot of that?
I have a of that August presentation?
No, the fact that it was on a DHS website when you claimed it.
It wasn't. Not only was it on the DHS website, but it was delivered to your board. That's what initiated the April 13, 2013 complaint that we're here talking about today.
So I'm sure.
And
so
I do have that.
Is that a yes or a no?
If you look in your paperclip packet, you
it's
go back.
It's all of that.
Yeah, it is in there.
Okay.
Yeah. So therefore, the board was aware that there had been DHS action on this complaint. But unfortunately, due to human error, I'm just going to assume, the board at that point in time and the staff did not match two and two together and thought that no action had been taken by DHS when, in fact, the enforcement action had been taken, giving rise to the secondary NCI complaint. So on the first complaint, the 0566, Ms. Flores was invited to the board on August 14th. She had already submitted a lengthy explanation to the 0566 complaint. Suffice it to say, a consent agreement was executed. That is part of the paperclip packet. It was approved by a block vote at that meeting on August 14th. Not only did she execute that agreement, she complied with all of its terms with respect to her probation in very short order. The board accepted her, well, the board staff terminated her probation order on August 28th of 2023. And then when she was invited to this meeting today, she questioned why she, you know, why? Because the matter had already been resolved via a signed consent agreement, a binding legal document, and payment of her investigative costs and completion of her probation terms with education requirements. She was advised that it was because the other complaint had to do with a family member of a resident, and this one had to do with an enforcement action. They are a family member complaint, and this one has to do with an enforcement action. These are one and the same complaints. They are codified in the statement of deficiencies that resulted from the December 12, 2022 DHS investigation. It's just, it took DHS a while to get to the point to actually take action, do the enforcement action, and so it is our opinion that this is duplicative. We should not be here, and she should have not had to have hired an attorney to present this to the board. Now, having said that, like I said, I respect your opinions, but we're ready to answer questions if you have them.
I don't have any questions for them.
I have a question for us, which is, would it be customary for DHS to send a complaint from a family directly to us before they
investigate? There's no one here that can speak for DHS.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But that is, in fact, what happened.
I'm not sure.
That is, in fact, what happened.
My suggestion is two things.
Okay.
We go directly to an administrative hearing, and we present our facts, and she can defend herself, or we table this. Because I didn't, you know, honestly, Jennifer, I didn't see the screenshot here. That's why I asked you. I wanted to see the screenshot where you're referring that it was looked up and it was not there.
No.
I think we postponed this.
It was your investigator who said that it was not there.
I guess I'm hearing two different things.
I'm
hearing two different things, but thank you. So it's not in here.
There's the screenshot of the fact that there's an enforcement action is irrelevant.
You're the one that brought it up.
I didn't bring up a screenshot.
Okay. All right.
Have any questions to me?
All right. I would ask that the board table this.
I would ask that the board not table this because I believe this
is
duplicative.
Excuse me. Am I interrupting you?
I'm sorry, Jeff, but she signed a consent agreement.
She has the table. Go ahead.
She signed a consent agreement.
Okay.
This matter is resolved as far as we are concerned.
I understand your argument, but I'm specifically asking the board to postpone it. We'll go back and look at these arguments and determine whether or not they're accurate or not. It's the board's decision.
And get further information on it before we make a determination.
I can probably explain.
Okay, let's hear from you.
You rescind your motion?
I will rescind my motion.
Okay. No vote needed.
She whispered it down here.
The first case that was adjudicated several months ago, it was a complaint that we got from DHS, referenced a family complaint. Okay. The consent agreement allegations really centered around a fault where somebody was injured. And the consent agreement was drafted in such a fashion that had nothing to do with any of this other stuff anymore. Now, it was one of the allegations in the initial case that you guys dealt with, and I wanted to address this about the caregivers not being readily accessible to residents. There's no mention in that allegation about caregiver certification or certification records concerning caregivers or personnel files or anything like that. If you read this, caregivers not readily accessible to residents means a physical caregiver is not available to the resident, not that their paperwork wasn't. Now, this new complaint did contain six allegations in four different areas. One of the allegations was related to a fall. It turned out to be a fall that took place earlier. That allegation was not substantiated by DHS because of income enforcement. The only issue that DHS took enforcement was the issue about the caregiver paperwork not being proper. And that was my recommendation for the CEUs on this particular case. Now, when I started the first case way back in, December 22.
Yeah.
I had no idea that DHS had gone out or was going to go out and do a complaint investigation because when I started it, they hadn't done it yet. We didn't get this new case until April. So we get December, January, February, March, and April. We don't get DHS paperwork until they send everything to enforcement. Then we get a package there. So the two cases are associated with each other. But the deficiency that went to enforcement was the fault. The deficiency that went to enforcement was the paperwork. The deficiency that was part of the consent agreement was the fall. Two different issues.
May I respond?
We're not here for this discussion. Mm-hmm. This is not the appropriate forum for arguing back and forth.
Okay. Madam Chairman, may I respond?
It's up to you. Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear from?
Well, if we're out of protocol,
we're not out of protocol. We're going to sit here, and we're going to end up the same place we were 10 minutes ago, where the respondent and her attorney are going to say the same thing. We're going to be saying the same thing, and it's your decision how to handle it. If you want to dismiss it, you dismiss it. If you think there's violations there, then we need to move forward with the proposed consent agreement. But given the tone, statements of abuse of discretion and so forth that we received today, I don't think it's a consent agreement is going to be signed. That's why I offered the board the two options of send it to administrative hearing or send it back to staff so that we can look at it further. I think Phil kind of filled in some of the blanks.
I would respectfully ask you not send it to hearing since you're having a hard time making that determination right now. I need facts that are concrete for hearing.
Which would mean that we postpone and have more time to investigate?
Yeah, I agree.
Is that?
It's up to you guys.
It's up to us.
I'll take the first or second.
You go first.
I propose that in this case, right to use the official language and all that stuff.
That we postpone
this discussion, and give the staff an opportunity to review all the material we received today, and then give us a recommendation based on that of how to proceed.
At the next meeting, at a future meeting?
At the next meeting.
Well, based on when they have time to do it. So at a future meeting, is that okay?
Yeah,
I'm ready for next month.
A second.
You'll be ready next month? Okay.
Should move this along.
Next month.
Objection.
Make sure we all have it on.
Objection. The licensee, the certificate holder is not available in November. And that date. I'm sorry, Wally, but
wait a minute, please. We're discussing this as a board. If we need to do it next month, we'll have to do it next month. If she's not available, then I think we figure out what we're going to do then, or it may be another month.
I think the staff has to sort it out.
The staff has to figure out when
to review it and make sure it is accurate so that we can make the best decision as a board.
I don't think anything's going to change from what Phil said.
What did Laura say?
Our facts are not going to necessarily change.
Okay. Well, I second your motion to table it.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
NCI-0177. The licensee is Maria Quinney, who's present here today. And on November 30th, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Silver Age Residential Care 3, located in Phoenix. The compliance inspection identified 23 deficiencies in 13 different areas. Four of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Quinney was notified of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. And on approximately March 3rd of 2023, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,500 for six substantiated violations, four of those were repeat violations. And Ms. Quinney is here today to discuss the compliance inspection.
Okay, hi.
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 Good morning.
Good morning. All right. So we have this record in front of us. You manage two facilities?
Yes, I don't, now it's one.
Now it's just one?
Yeah.
But at this time it was two?
Yes.
And you were spending how much time at each?
4 to 3 hours every 3 days. Not 3 days. I mean,
say that again?
4 hours every 3 times a week.
Three times a week,
yes.
4 hours at each.
Yes.
Okay. So I guess the question then is, what exactly happened that you got all of these deficiencies written up?
For that one, the Silver Ages is already owned by Christina Ratchett. When I took over as a manager, the new owner was from New York, and we're in the transition of taking that over. So for 3 months, I have evidence here that I was communicating with her how she's going to take care of it, because the new owner is from New York, and we're transitioning. And I was under impression that she was going to do an MBA and then get in a new facility name. So I acknowledge that the residential is not ready. I have done like Mars ADLs for that facility, but I don't have much time to get with it.
So how long from the point in time when you had your certificate there to when Department of Health Services came for the survey?
I have August.
1 month.
Yeah. 4 months.
4 months.
It was 3 months.
A
three
few months.
Months.
Yeah. I that's not an answer. I,
oh,
like 4 months. Okay, so you have 4 months.
Yes, it was November 30 when the issues came.
And have you been a manager before this?
In that
anywhere.
Yes.
Okay. So you know the rules.
Yeah, I already know the rules. I was
okay.
Just not, I guess I was, okay, for example, that facility, we are renewing all the residence agreement with the new owners. I was helping her. She's a nurse. And we're, she, change, transfer hospice to a private hospice also. So I'm in the process of that. I was in a hanging, you know, where everything is due and under. I'm not sure. So I already know that I'm going to penalize for it. I was expecting that because I was, that time to November is when I got sick with COVID, and I was ready to go there, and I didn't have time to get things ready.
So there was a lot going on. Transition of owners. Okay, we get that. That's probably confusing. So some extra education would be a good idea?
Yes. I also have this like on my my email and my I read out some messages that I have heard that the DHS is going to be looking at the MAR, the DNR, and the DHS. Can you please get them the last owner to give you those, because I had this experience before with it. Yes.
So the last owner didn't leave any records behind for the residents?
It was really, I have a picture of it, but it's a violation, so.
Okay.
It's just that it was really.
Did you write the plan of correction?
Yes.
Or did the new owner write the plan of correction?
We both did.
You both did together?
Yes.
So tell me what you are doing differently right now that gives us some.
For example, like I did in my experience, that I always do that evaluation, the disaster drill, and the 3 months to six months for, and then directed care. And I know, because I used to own a care home also, that when we have a new hospice, that they validate different end service and TV. So I was relaying to the nurse, to the owner, that I need those service.
And so, I appreciate you know the rules.
Yes.
What are you doing differently in this situation? If it happens again, or you're in this transition, you're the one who owns the responsibility. So what are you going to do?
I made correction as of now. I have a record of my in-training for the new owner, because she's from New York. She doesn't know the rules.
Well, Nick.
Yeah.
Your job to
do. Yeah. So we're both in an agreement that this is what's going to be in your place for you and for me. So I've been in contact with her every day.
And are you going to do that before you hang your certificate or after?
In the middle. Because when I went there to hang my certificate,
now. Starting right this.
Starting right now, I have to look everything first before I.
Okay. And you've been a manager how long?
2015.
I am prepared to make this motion.
Well, I have a question.
You'll go for it.
So the new owner, the old owner, owned the home for quite some time here in Arizona.
I am not sure. I have.
And you didn't work there then, so
no.
You don't know anything about it.
No.
You don't know anything about their previous inspections or anything. So when you come in November or 4 months before this is a brand new inspection for you, brand new facility, mm-hmm. brand new owner who doesn't know Arizona law.
So when I look over there, I was looking at the survey and Silver Age facility. I got the survey 2020, and I keep looking, and spend a lot of time and saying, I'm going to stay for more than 6 hours or for more than, because I suppose only stay there for 3 hours that day. And I was like, I have not really seen anything here. Is there any way I can answer, you can ask the previous owner about all these funds here? If not, it's on my email too. If not, I can make my own, and if you want, we can make a new one. And she was like, let me ask the old owner. And she gave me Mars, and she was like, Maria Bernadette, I go by Bernadette. We're gonna have a new management, and new consultant. I have a consultant here doing all these audits, and we're going to have a new everything. So I was like, okay, but I'm still going to do my thing. And then from then on, we have a email messages that will say that we are, I was, you know, trying to get her to, have you received any licenses, new, your new license from DSHA? Because I will need that too to make a new appointment with the board, because it will be under a different name, High Silver Age. So
I understand what happened, and you thought there would be a change of name, and which case would be a new survey with Department of Health Services.
Yes,
but
I was not.
But that owner owns the last, because they bought the LLC. I know how this went. All of it falls on your shoulders, so
yes,
some extra education is going to be beneficial.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions? Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 446-11, and AACR 4-33-407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct in complaint number 2023-NCI-0177 involving manager Maria Quinney. And the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to a formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms should be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative cost in the amount of $601.33. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required, and document completion in each of the following areas: medication management, personnel requirements, and emergency disaster preparedness. And those CEU, those continuing ed hours do not count toward the license holder for the next renewal period. Any costs of the probation are those of the licensee or certificate holder. And
I'll second.
Thank you.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Cofern?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will mail you some information to sign, okay? Next up we have Heather Hildreth. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Do we have a page number?
278.
Thank you. You look good.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
And you are?
Yes, I'm Heather Hildreth.
Okay.
And this is in regards to East Shea Assisted Living. It's a care home in Scottsdale.
Okay. Bill, will you outline?
Sure. This complaint 2023-NCI-0181. Licensee is Heather Hildreth, who's present here today. On December 22, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility complaint investigation at East Shea 2, located in Scottsdale. The complaint investigation identified three deficiencies in three different areas. Ms. Hildreth was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. And on approximately March 14, 2023, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,500 for one substantiated violation. And Ms. Hildreth is here today to discuss the complaint investigation with the board.
Yes,
thank you. This is a home house?
That's right, yes.
License for how many?
10.
Okay. And you manage two?
That's right, yes.
Two locations? Okay. And you're there approximately how much time?
You know, it probably varies, but maybe 5 to 10 hours per week, depending.
At each?
Probably at each, yeah. That depends.
Okay.
And so who, one of the issues, I guess, was around personnel records. Who does the hiring?
Well, Mayflower, after she is the kind of designee that's there more often than I am. And so she does the hiring. And, of course, we get together to, you know, discuss different things here and there.
And
she does the hiring. But I believe this was pertaining to Phoenician home care that provided caregivers as a relief.
Oh, a relieving care duty.
Exactly.
Oh,
so,
oh.
Yeah, then we didn't have the records on file for them because they were from the care agency. It was like a few days before Christmas. But we've hired staff since then, so we don't use that agency anymore.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you were to use agency again, tell us what would you do or discuss with your owner so that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it doesn't matter whether or not they are from a home care company, if they're relievers, temporary, whatever. It doesn't matter. We need to have the same records, you know, in regards to, and just make sure that they are trained on how we do things, and there's no difference, you know, between our employees and the reliever staff. So that's very clear now. The employee records and all of that orientation.
And so this says that manager failed to ensure records were established and maintained. Is the for three employees, were all three of those agency people?
They were from Phoenician, yeah, because it was a few days before Christmas. I was visiting my dad on hospice over the holidays in New Mexico, so it was just kind of like, just, you know, between no shows, people sick, this and that, we just had to hire some people temporarily. You know.
More questions?
Mm-hmm. I agree with that letter concerning the appropriate.
Okay, you want to make that motion?
You did. I just moved the board offer.
We
issue a letter of concern.
The board issue a letter of concern.
And
the concern being?
The concern being appropriate personal records.
Maintaining appropriate personal.
Establishing and maintaining appropriate personnel records for all employees.
Yes.
Okay. I'll second.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, next up we have Lenora Chapman. Hello, thank you for being here. Phil.
Sure, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0183. Licensee is Lenora Chapman, who's present here today. On December 8, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Yana Assisted Living Home LLC located in Goodyear. Compliance inspection identified 12 deficiencies in 8 different areas. Ms. Chapman was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. It was on approximately March 31st, 2023, when DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $750 for 2 substantiated violations. And Ms. Chapman is here today to discuss the compliance inspection with the board.
Thank you. Okay. This is a home?
Yes.
And
assisted living.
Assisted living. And do you manage any others?
Yes, I'm managing 2 homes.
2, okay. So this survey was done, and they found several things to be addressed. And do you know what those are? Can you tell us what you did to correct these issues?
It's just a misunderstanding between the 2 workers. I think when the surveyor show up, I have assistant caregiver.
Okay.
And she happened to give the medication to the resident. My certified caregiver, she hides when she saw the inspector.
she hid when she saw the inspector. Therefore, the assistant was not supervised.
Yes.
Okay. And that was one issue. What has taken place with the other issues that were supposedly corrected, like an alarm on the door that goes outside?
I corrected everything.
So there's now an alarm?
Yes.
Both places that you manage? It's in working order?
Yes.
Go.
When did you start at this facility? What's your start date?
Adliana assisted living, I started in January of 2020.
January of 2022. And let's see. So you were 1 month after the inspection? No.
The inspection
was
December.
You had about 12 months.
Yes. December 2020.
How much time do you spend there?
I spend a lot of time there since my daughter.
A lot.
Yes.
It's hard to
give
us an idea of how many hours.
I work as a caregiver there also. I spend like maybe 50 hours a week.
Okay.
Because the home is owned by my daughter.
Okay. And you're her manager. Is the other home also owned by your daughter? Just
no.
Curiosity? No?
No.
Okay. So, if you're there a lot, and you've been a manager, why did some of this take place? Why aren't drills being done?
When the inspector showed up, I went out to get groceries because I have a birthday, and that day one of the residents' birthdays.
And did that leave an assistant caregiver there alone?
No, there's a certified caregiver.
There was still a certified caregiver.
Yes.
But you not being there doesn't make us understand why the alarm wasn't working, why medication wasn't locked, why the disaster drills weren't done. That has nothing to do with you going grocery shopping right that time. Why weren't those taken care of?
During those time, I don't have alarms set.
Okay.
I just put it on after the inspection.
Okay, so you didn't have that. How about disaster drills? We've always done those. Why weren't they done?
I did it, but I only did it one time. I supposed to do it two times, like the...
On each?
Yes.
I see. So you had one of them documented, but not the second?
Yes.
Okay. So... How long have you been a manager?
Since 2013.
13. Okay. Go for it.
Mm-hmm. I just have one quick question.
Oh, yeah.
You manage the Goodyear home.
Yes.
And the Surprise home?
Yes.
Are they within 2 or 3 miles? 3 miles.
10 miles.
Okay. Now, when you live in Surprise, because that's how it says with your license, I'm just trying to figure out.
Yes, I live in Surprise, but during those time, I live in Goodyear.
Good, okay. And how much time did you spend at each facility?
In Goodyear, I spend like maybe 40 to 50 hours a week.
A week?
Yes, because I live there sometimes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, now I understand. Okay, thank you. Okay, thanks.
Based on the information contained, I want to make a motion. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446.07B3, ARS 44611, AACR 433407A, B, and 1 for unprofessional conduct. In complaint number 0183, is that
mm-hmm.
Okay? Involving manager Lenora Chapman. And the board offered a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the matter would be forwarded to a formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. conditions: suspension of certificate but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, and completion of the following areas.
Reimbursement
of $524.82 for investigated costs, and then completion in each of the following areas: personnel requirements, emergency disaster preparedness, medication management, and environmental standards.
And should those count toward next year's renewal?
Well, I didn't see that, but no, they do not count towards the completion of requirements for your license.
And are
above and beyond.
Are the cost of probation to be handled by the certificate holder?
I thought that was standard. Mm-hmm. Any cost of the probation are those of the licensee certificate holder.
Thank you. I'll second.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Next up we have the Zerde Estrella.
Page 440.
Thank you. I'll let you say your name because I know I butchered it.
Yeah, it's Lizarde.
Lizarde.
Yep,
straight. Thank you. Okay, Bill, please.
It's complaint 2023-NCI-0187. Licensee is Lizarde Estrella, who's present here today. And on February 9th, 2023, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at a cottage at Pampa Assisted Living located in Mesa. Compliance inspection identified 16 deficiencies in 11 different areas. Mr. Estrella was noticed of the complaint, and he did provide a written response. It was on approximately March 22, 2023, when DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $5,400 for 2 substantiated violations. And Mr. Estrella is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Thank you. My first question is, how long have you been a manager?
2018.
Since 2018.
Yep.
Okay.
How much time do you spend at the facility?
I only spend on the house. It depends on the owner's call me, because
depends on what?
On call. The owner is a personal friend. Backstory. The home was established September 2021, and we have a common friend with the new owner. She asked me to establishing the setup of the home, and I'm willing to I'm going to hire you as my manager for the requirements for setting a home. That will be September 2021.
So the question was, how many hours do you spend there? I think I heard you say, but you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of up to the owner.
Yeah, it's only on a few occasions, because when the former owner sell the house to our common friend.
Well, it's up to the owner to decide how many hours you're there, and you don't really know.
Yeah,
because they ask you to show up.
Well, there's a new employee, a new patient, a new resident. They call me. You need to sign something.
I understand that, but your license is on the wall. You're responsible 100% of the time.
Yes, sir. But
you're telling me I show up only when the owner says I need to sign something, I need to do something.
Yes, sir.
Otherwise, not my problem.
The thing is, I know my problem, because when the new owner talk to me. I need your certificate to continue hanging on my hat. I told her I have no time for a two hole because that time already managing a new home, a home in Queen Creek. And then she told me, no problem. I'll be the one, I'll be your money designee, because I trusted her well, because she got two existing homes. She's a nurse, and her husband is a nurse practitioner who is also the house nurse, home nurse for the particular.
How much you get paid per month?
The thing is,
how much are you getting paid for your time at this facility?
The thing is, she never paid me.
Oh.
She paid me twice.
So,
and
no
then,
pay, no work.
So you're showing up when you need, and they, because the husband is a nurse practitioner, and she is a nurse, is that right?
Yeah, I just trusted.
You're just kind of figuring they'll take care of the health care stuff.
I just trusted
them, don't worry about it.
Because they're personal friend, they're all the owner, but also enticed me to do business careful, which I did.
So you're just hanging your license on the wall because they aren't licensed. That's really what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's really
just,
that's
on
my
on that.
My reply on my. It's my reply.
Are you doing anything different today?
Yeah, I'm employed at USPS and a full-time mail carrier.
And are you still a manager?
Just for one.
Just for one. And what do you tell us what you're doing differently there?
I'm now on a regular basis, twice a month. I'm in the home in Queen Creek.
Twice a month.
Yep. And every now and then I call the owner, because the owner is also a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
What's up date? Do I need to go there? But on a regular basis, every 2 weeks, I'll.
How much do you get paid for that job per month?
Or the current?
Yes, Queen Creek. So
$700
a month for your manager.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
And how do you know that the residents are being taken care of if you only go in twice a month? I mean, your license is hanging on the wall. You're responsible for them regardless of what the owner can do or can't do or husband does or, I mean, that scares me to death to think that you don't care enough about those residents that you only go twice a month. If I had my parents in a home like that, I'd have them out in a heartbeat. But I want to know you care.
The way he was explaining that, I think he said there's a nurse practitioner and a nurse at that location. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
That's the way he's justifying it.
You can't justify that. I'm sorry. Not to me.
But his license is on the line.
No.
And I think we understand the concept. We all rely on a designee when we're not there. But that doesn't mean we rely on a designee all the time for everything. They could be a doctor. They could be the best doctor in the whole world. They're not the manager. The rules don't say a doctor shall ensure the safety of the residents. It says the manager shall ensure everything. Everything. The biggest concern and what got that facility in trouble with DHS was that somehow somebody didn't understand that you cannot use bed rails and lock a door on a resident. That is a basic 101 caregiver knowledge. That's paperwork, whatever. That is frightening. And so against the residents' rights. And the nurse practitioner or PA also should know better, and the nurse should know better. They're not allowed to do that. We're not allowed to do that. So, bad enough that they didn't know, worse that you didn't know. And if you didn't know that was happening there until the survey took place, that's where this problem comes from. Because you can't rely on them. they're not protecting you.
Yeah.
Only you can protect you. And you do that by protecting our residents that are sitting there.
Yeah. How long have you
being
been
locked in a room.
How long have you been in the industry?
As caregiver since 2015.
And you got your manager certificate in 2018. Mm-hmm. Have you had other disciplinary actions with this board, other complaints?
No, he's new as a manager. Did you know as a caregiver all the way back when that we're not allowed to use bed rails as restraint?
Yeah.
How is it that that took place in this building?
Because I'm not a hands-on manager.
Right.
I needed that.
You're still not?
I'm sorry?
You're still not a hands-on manager even
not
after
now.
This?
Not after that. Not after this.
But you're hanging your certificate someplace right now.
Yeah, but make sure I always talk to the manager.
Twice a month. You're up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 3644607B3, ARS 44611, AACR 43407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct in complaint number 0187 involving manager Felizarde Torno Estrella, and the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of certificate, but stay the suspension. Well, actually, I don't
know. Member Stephen, I believe you're just going to offer a consent agreement for voluntary surrender.
I just want to move to voluntary surrender of license and certificate.
And if not signed, move the hearing.
Right. That's what I want.
Thank you.
I second.
Okay. Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Manager Estrella, the board has voted to offer you a consent agreement for surrender of your manager certificate. The board will send it out to you in a couple of days. If you have questions, give me a call.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you. That was a 10-minute break. Welcome, Mr. Donovan. It takes a lot for my blood to boil. We're on to number 10, Ruben Samba.
Hello,
thank you. And who do you have with you?
This is my wife. You have joined the call, but you are
the
only one here.
589. 589, thank you.
So we're on number
289. And
589.
Ruben Sanda.
589. Christina Sanda and Ruben Sanda.
Okay.
Husband and wife.
Husband and wife. But you're not the manager.
No, I'm the
manager. He is the manager. You're here for moral support?
Oh, we work together.
You work together.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0194. Licensee is Ruben Sander, who's present here today. And on February 15, 2023, DHS conducted an assisted living facility complaint investigation at Devonshire Assisted Living Home, LLC, located in Scottsdale. Complaint investigation identified four deficiencies in three different areas. Mr. Sanda was notified of the complaint, and he did provide a written response.
You have joined the call, but you are the only one here.
March 22, 2023, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $600 for one substantiated violation. And Mr. Sanda is here today to discuss the matter and explain the deficiency dealt.
Okay. This is a home?
Yes.
Licensed for how many?
Five.
Are you the owner of that business?
Yes.
And so this complaint says that you took a resident before you were finished licensing with DHS?
Yes. So
that was one of them.
Yes.
Okay. How did that take place?
Well, we were supposed to originally, we had an appointment with for the inspection, and we told them that we needed that before we accept them, but then they called and they begged for us to take them because they had no place at the place they were staying. So that's why we, I know we made a mistake, but that's why we did.
And for me, it's a legitimate question. What would the alternative have been for that resident had you not accepted them?
They came directly from the rehab, Medicare, and Miss Comida is also. So we kind of made a decision based on that because they didn't have anywhere to go, and the only family member was in Texas.
Okay.
So she was in St. Town.
And so that citation from DHS, you signed a consent agreement. They still licensed you, and you paid a fine. Was that a day rate fine that they charged you every day?
$100
a day until you until they licensed you. Would that also explain the citation that is that you didn't have a residency agreement? Is that for the same person?
The only thing that she was saying that I didn't have the date of acceptance, which I wrote
on. Oh, the date of occupancy, yes.
Yeah, we had it on top, move in before, but she overlooked that, and we sent paperwork in to show proof, but she still did it. I mean,
okay. Oh, and this is the one where there's disputing family members, the POA.
There's a big fight between the new POA and family members.
And so did you have the POA paperwork?
So we had POA paperwork, but the investigator didn't like that paperwork because it wasn't based on the new funds that they wanted the family member from. They were still battling between who is the new POA, and if the old POA is the one, the cousin in Texas, which we had no idea she existed. We only had the new POA that actually found us and wanted us to care for the loved one, which is a friend of hers, and that's all we were aware of. And then we learned there's a cousin that was put as a POA while she had COVID and not aware of her making her a POA on the spot, which it was like 2 months prior for her moving in.
Okay. But you didn't know that at the time that you accepted this residence.
We had no idea, I promise you. We only know the new POA that is initially right now.
And is it the POA, the previous POA who filed this complaint?
Correct.
And had they presented themselves to you?
No, never. For 7 years, the family member has never seen her for 7 years based on her.
Based on the resident's
mm-hmm.
testimony?
They did all the paperwork through an attorney over the phone. I don't know how that was, but.
And so you got cited because the surveyor heard from this other POA and is disputing the POA that you had knowledge of.
Correct.
That, okay. Well, so to me, this what's the other issue? Refusal of medication. Didn't document that the resident, is this the same resident?
So my paperwork says that she was refusing, and she said that she's on medication, but we didn't have any doctor's orders for anything. So she was taking an aspirin, my understanding is, prior for her to move in. And we're talking about just 6 days for her to move in. That's when the complaint came in.
but we're still finding out new things as the day was going. That it was a lot of things just based on anger from the cousin. We were not aware. She was not taking at that time anything. We were not aware of it. And actually, she was just coming to our home for assistance because she wasn't safe at home. She fell and she had a surgery on her hip.
And so you didn't have any doctor's orders?
We had no doctor's order for medication. We don't have nothing. And she came from a rehab. She was...
And so, do you document that you don't have orders?
No.
I guess I've never done that. I would document if we had orders and didn't have the medication there, or didn't have orders and somebody was taking medication that we didn't have orders for. Was the person taking medication with you?
Based on her cousin that hasn't seen her for 7 years, Catherine was taking medication.
No, resident. The resident was taking medication,
the resident,
but not with you.
But not with us.
Okay.
Did you request order for that resident?
So when they come from a rehab setting, we get doctor's order, TB test, and everything we need. And there was an agreement signed and everything legally on my part and Ruben's part. But it was so much going back and forth with these pools of proceeds and money. And they thought that she was going to pass away. I know it was a lot of anger on the cousin's part. I understood both sides, but I was the middleman. I was caught into this, that it was a lot of anger. And I didn't know actually what she was saying to the health department. I didn't see the...
So, from my understanding, the way I'm looking at this, I don't know how you can fix something that you didn't know. How do you take orders from a POA if you don't know the original POA, if nobody's presented that before they complained? The issue that got you in the most trouble was taking a resident before you were licensed. What would you do differently now? Well, now you're licensed, but what do you do to make sure that a resident is appropriate to be there? What would you do differently now? What are you doing differently?
It's definitely a learning process. We have never went through this before.
Are you new in the industry?
No, we're not.
No?
No. It's something that we have never heard. We have never heard so much anger from two different parties. And honestly, it was just
Something
that I can explain.
What do we have here?
So, what's your relationship with the resident?
I've been there to the resident for 25 years.
Okay. But you are the license holder.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And do you help out at the facility?
Correct. 100%. We're both in it. Yeah.
And doing in what capacity?
100%. I'm with there every single day.
Are you like a nurse?
Oh, I'm sorry?
In what capacity? Are you like a nurse to the facility?
Oh, no. I'm just a caregiver.
Okay. Certified?
Certified caregiver.
Personally, I have a little hard time with this. It used to be that we were allowed to take a person in prior to licensing. Maybe even up to two, which was an unofficial kind of acceptance. And so I don't know. Maybe a letter of concern. I don't know that this is.
I would be amenable to that.
To a letter of concern.
I was concerned initially when I saw this.
Yeah,
that's why.
It is a concern. It is a concern, but.
But the explanation seems.
They knew full well and made the choice so the person wouldn't be put in a homeless shelter, which is what the alternative would have been.
They knew what they did was inappropriate.
So right. Okay.
Letter of concern for what? What would you recommend?
For operating without license. Operating without license.
No, not that. Okay.
No? What's the concern?
You're either licensed or you're not.
Yeah.
If you're not licensed, it's a violation, and
probably rises to the level of disciplinary action. I mean, that's you're setting a very dangerous precedent if you go down that route, if that's the only violation.
Can we say give medicine without a doctor's order?
No, they didn't give medicine.
Just
say something as generic as ethics, letter of concern for unethical practices.
You may not want to disciplinary action, but if you are facts pointing in that direction, as a government agency, as a board,
yeah.
I think you need to uphold those statutes and rules, whether we want to or not. And that's, I mean,
all right.
Otherwise, you're going to dismiss. You have to dismiss it.
No level of concern. No,
I hear you. All right.
Okay.
It's either or.
Can I make a
motion? Yep.
Based on information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446073, ARS 44611. ACR 4-33407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct in complaint number 0194 involving manager Ruben Sanda. And the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate, but stay of the suspension as long as the terms of consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. And the, reimbursement of investigated costs of $514.82. And a completion of a course in ethics.
3 hours.
3 hour course in ethics.
With the executive director's pre approval and document submission?
Standard consent.
Yeah.
So.
And those hours do not count toward renewal
of the license. Correct.
That's my motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Member Stevens.
Member Kennedy, do you want to also add, other terms? The continuing education hours are in addition to the renewal requirement of R-433-501-82.
Yes, and any cost of the probation are those of the licensee certificate holder. Yes.
Okay. Can we do this by roll call vote, please, since I'm on the phone?
Yeah, we have to.
Yes.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
I'm sorry, who is the second?
I was.
Oh. Vice President Archer?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to jump to 16. Nancy
this is complaint 2023-NCI-0213. The licensee is Nancy Nirogi, who's present here today. And on January 30th, 2023, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at White Rose Assisted Living located in Chandler. Compliance inspection identified 17 deficiencies in 8 different areas. Ms. Nirogi was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. And on approximately March 28th of 2023, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $750 for 2 substantiated violations. And Ms. Noriegi is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Thank you. All right. This is a care home?
Yes.
License for how many?
5.
And the enforcement issues were the caregivers' skills and knowledge were not verified, and that you did not have a full personnel file that included first aid training for 1 employee. Is that the same employee for both of those?
Yes.
Okay. And what was the circumstances around that, that you didn't have a complete file on this person?
The circumstances is, well, I had just hired her like the day before, and the surveyor came the following day because my other caregiver had just left without any notice. So I was having to work by myself. And so when I got this lady, I had not put her documents together. By the way, I finally got that done, and I put everything in order.
So you weren't able to present it when the surveyor was there? Did that person have first aid training?
She did.
CPR and first aid?
She did.
And had you verified their skills and knowledge, or that you had just hired them, so maybe you didn't have time to do that?
I hadn't done it prior to the surveyor because she had come like the previous night, and now catching up with the work and helping the residents.
Okay.
I hadn't been able to put her file together.
I saw that it said you no longer manage that facility.
No, I do.
You do manage that facility.
Yeah, I do manage the
facility. So you've been there since when? When did you start?
October last year.
22. Yes.
So
other concern was that you did not have a designee. You didn't have somebody assigned as a designee when you're not there?
Yes, I did not, but I updated that and I put it on the wall so it is visible.
Okay. Personnel records. And what are you doing about service plans?
I do the service plans every 3 months for the directed care patients and 6 months for the personal care. But there was one that was a few days late, and that is why I was cited.
And so,
update.
How are you making sure that doesn't happen again?
I have put everything on my computer, and I have alerts that will allow me to remind me of when any of the certifications or any of the service plans are not up to date.
How long have you been a manager?
I've been a manager for many years, but different facilities.
Okay.
Yes. Think, what, 2003?
Mm-hmm. 2003? Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But
so you were new to, how long have you been at this particular facility as a manager?
About 5 months.
5 months.
Yes.
Trying to find the court action sheet.
Can you pronounce your last name for me, please?
Pronounce?
Yeah.
Silent N. Yoroge.
Yoroge.
Are we happy with what's proposed? I'll do it. Any other questions?
You've run into this board before. You've had complaints.
Yes, I have.
You've been in the industry a long time.
Yes, I have.
I'm curious as to how you've been in the industry so long, why we're seeing you pop up with EHS surveys. Just a very straightforward kind of too much to handle. You're not there enough. Why is this happening?
At that particular time, it's because I was new to that facility and I had not gotten all my paperwork together. So I made sure now that I put all the files where I can always find anything that I need and to make sure that all the papers are updated.
Okay. I'm a little concerned if it continues to happen, this board's going to be looking at stuff other than just a consent agreement because there seems to be a little bit of a pattern. So from a staff perspective, I would hope that we don't see this anymore.
Okay, I'll make sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, I'm prepared to make a motion. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 446.11, and AACR 4-33-407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 2023 NCI 0213. manager Nancy Jorayer. And the board offered consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the consent agreement is met, the terms are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative cost in the amount of $601.33. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required in document completion in each of the following areas. Service plans, personnel requirements, residency agreements. In that 3 month period, I'd also like to have you come back to one more meeting just to observe.
Okay.
So that you'll figure out you don't need to be here again.
Okay.
These continuing education hours are in addition to the renewal requirements of R433-501A2. Any cost of the probation are those of the licensees, of the certificate holder.
Second that motion.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Appreciate it.
All right. Who did we come with?
15 and 17.
We have 15, which includes 19 and 20 at one time.
We were at number 17, yes.
I can do 17 next. Let's do 17 next. That would be Barbara Stein. Thank you, and thanks for having me.
50,041.
Thank you. 1,041. Okay, Phil.
Okay, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0225. Licensee is Barbara Stein, who is present here today. And on August 23rd, 2022, DHS conducted two assisted living facility complaint investigations at Granite Gate Senior Living located in Prescott. The complaint investigations identified four deficiencies in two different areas. Ms. Stein was notified of the complaint, and she did provide her written response. I'm sorry, she did not provide her written response.
It came in today, Phil. You hand-delivered it. Was that for today's complaint?
Yes, I was told not to send anything back because I missed the last meeting because I wasn't aware of it because it went to my old address because at the time of the complaint, I lived somewhere else and I think that address was on the information because I did put in a change of address.
Thank you. Did you hand in your response?
I did today, yes.
For this matter today?
Yes.
Perfect, thank you. I wasn't here
already.
I apologize.
Yeah.
So we got hand-delivered today.
Okay.
Sorry, Phil.
So we don't have benefit of that.
Okay. You can just ask for it.
Until we hear from her. Okay.
Yeah. On approximately April 11th, 2023, DHS took enforcement action to impose a civil money penalty of $500 for one substantiated violation, and Ms. Stein is here today to discuss the matter with the board. And I also have another question for her on a other case that we
okay.
Now with the board.
Oh, beg your pardon. Okay. All right. Thank you. This is a home license for? This is a facility.
It's assisted living 124 is licensed.
124. Okay. And so 8 of 8 personnel sampled didn't have complete personnel files. Skills and knowledge was not verified. Policy and procedure for medication administration was not signed. And the medication order was not handled properly. So how long have you been a manager here?
Here since November of 21.
And the survey took place?
November of 22, wasn't it?
So you've been there about a year.
Yes.
So how is it that 8 personnel files were not complete.
So we had a change in the business office manager, and there was some filing that didn't get put in the files because I was without a business office manager for about 2 months. So it was just not that the skills weren't done, it's just that they weren't in the files when the state came.
Okay. And so going back to what you had just said earlier, you did put a notice into this board that you had a change of address?
I did, and since when the complaint was done, I was living at a different address, and then I put in the change of address. I've gotten mail since then at my new address, but this for some reason went to my old address, so I'm wondering if it, because the original complaint had that address on it, that they sent it to the wrong address, because I never had notification that I was supposed to be here, and in my email, I'm thinking it must have went to spam, because I couldn't even find it in the spam folder.
So how did you know you were here today?
Somebody, Kelly,
called
yeah, and said, your name's on the list.
Okay. So, Phil, do we have correct information on her in file now?
You do.
In the file, yes. Okay.
Chino Valley.
All right. So medication, that paperwork might be less of my concern. Medication administered was not in compliance with the medication order for 3 of 10 residents that were sampled. Can you explain that?
Meaning?
It says, well, the citation says that failure to ensure medication administered to a resident was administered with in compliance with the medication order for 3 of 10 residents.
So, does that mean they refused medication, or does that mean?
I don't know exactly what was cited, but it falls under the heading of medication administration.
Okay.
Were you there at the survey?
I was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you remember the survey and going over this?
Briefly, I don't remember what the medication error was. We did have a caregiver that admittedly gave the wrong medication to a resident. I'm thinking that probably is what it is, and that resident went to the hospital and we reported it and everything.
This says
also,
for 3 of 10.
There's also issues with failure to provide medication.
Okay.
For resident 4
so
and 6.
Because the doctor
okay.
order didn't get in to get the medication filled, probably.
The medication order didn't get sent to the pharmacy?
It didn't get sent to the pharmacy because the doctor didn't send the order. So we have a lot of issues with physicians not following through up there. So
and what is, unfortunately, yes,
yeah.
What is your system in place for that to not happen so that a resident doesn't end up going without their refills?
So if
or
I have to send somebody from marketing over to sit in the doctor's office, we can do that just to stay on top of that and have more than one person responsible for checking it.
At the bottom of page 5 of the,
yeah.
You see that it does say that they were waiting on a physician or a pharmacist.
Yeah. Which unfortunately does happen. All right, does anybody else have questions?
Madam Chair, I know I'm getting in the middle of this. The staff recommendation, Manager Stein, the staff recommendation is for a disciplinary action proposed for consent agreement. This is your opportunity. Tell the board whether you agree with that recommendation or you don't, and if you don't, the reasons why. And I know we just got your response today, thank you very much, but they might appreciate hearing your position in this matter.
So unprofessional conduct, what exactly is that?
It's a disciplinary action. It goes on your record, stays with you for the
life.
I
mean, why? You know why?
Why it's called
that? Is it because I wasn't here last time, or...?
It's because of the it's because of the facts in the case.
Okay.
It's because of the DHS review, the deficiencies they found, the $500 civil penalty. It's those things that we are saying are violations that affect your management and your manager's certificate. So the fact pattern is very much the same, except now this board is looking at your certification with this particular board.
Okay.
So we reviewed that. Was investigated. Staff made a recommendation, which is for a disciplinary action, a consent agreement, and that's what they're here today to decide on.
And I don't know, maybe I can clarify a little bit. the words unprofessional conduct relate to every single type of licensure out in Arizona, and as a generalized term, that means that whoever that licensee is did not uphold their duty in the profession to the highest standard, therefore something they did could be perceived as unprofessional conduct.
It's
an overarching term.
Where, like, an analogy would be, we're the police officer, you were driving, you ran a red light, here's your ticket. Only this is with your professional licensure.
Yeah. So we also have a plan in place where the corporate nurse comes in and audits all the files and helps to keep us in compliance with that. But with the medication, I can just make sure that we communicate better, and if they let me know that there's something missing, I can track it down myself rather than rely on one certain person to do that.
Okay. And do you have a system now in place? I mean, unfortunately, nurses and all those other people
come and go
and don't necessarily follow our same rules.
Yes, I've been going to the care meetings when they have a shift change, and getting the information firsthand so that it doesn't go weeks before I find out what's going on.
Okay, and that wasn't happening before?
No, because I had staffing that I thought was taking care of that, but they weren't taking care of that.
And your corporate has given you an additional nurse person for oversight?
Yes, it's a
at your request? Or after all of this?
Yeah. Okay. It's a corporate interim nurse that comes in and helps us with that.
Okay. And how long have you been a manager? Did I ask for
2012.
Questions? Kim, do you have any questions?
You might be good.
Unmute. We need to make sure he's here, right? Kim, are you on the line?
Yep. Over here.
Just want to make sure we don't have to start over. Do you have any questions for this manager? Nobody else?
I'm kind of concerned. You help me understand this. So you looked at the survey, you knew about the survey, but you didn't know about this meeting until a couple of days ago, and you just handed in a response?
So I was told, I called and talked to Donita several times about it, because after I found out that there was a meeting a month ago, 2 months ago, that I missed, I was very concerned about that. She said not to sign anything, not to do anything, just to come to the next meeting and resolve it.
And then
excuse me. Okay. I want to say there's two separate complaints that we're talking about here. So the one that we're talking about is the one with the consent agreement that you said you didn't want to sign. So that one was going to go to a formal hearing. Two separate complaints.
So, yeah. I thought that. Okay. So we're not talking about the
other one. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was under the understanding I was not to send something back.
Mm-hmm.
So I filled out.
It is not a requirement either.
Right.
No.
Yeah, I get where you're getting at, but it's not a requirement. It's just a request from the board.
But it sounds like since there were two issues, some lines got crossed.
It sounds that way. So Ms. Stein was offered a consent agreement at the last meeting. She didn't have an opportunity to be here, so we advised her that she would, have a formal hearing if not signed and could present her case at that time.
But since we maybe didn't notify. So she's here now because she didn't sign the consent agreement?
No, that's a whole separate issue. There's two separate complaints.
Yes.
Well, then stop acting up. I'm sorry. No, I'm teasing.
Clarifying.
Okay. So today's here now.
Yes.
You were properly noticed for this meeting and did not respond prior
because
to today.
I probably misunderstood Donita.
Okay.
That I
wasn't
that's
supposed
what
it
to
sounds
respond.
Like.
Yeah.
I want to be clear. There's no staff does not believe there's any problem with the fact pattern notice
okay.
or anything.
Okay.
That's why I kind of tried to redirect you to your opportunity to talk to this court about your feelings on this particular case, which you responded to us today. So there shouldn't be any discrepancy of what the facts are, what your response is, and whether or not you feel this rises to a disciplinary action.
So yes, we were lacking documentation. They weren't in the files, but we did have the documentation. Right. I just had a lack of staff to help me put things together when we were when she came in to do that.
And that has been resolved.
Yes.
And the medication issue with doctors not getting orders timely has also been resolved.
Yes.
Did residents go without medication?
There were some that had to wait a few days for their medication because the doctor didn't put the order in, yes.
And no, did anybody notify you of that fact?
They didn't at that time, no. They do now.
They do now?
Yes.
And okay. When you onboard somebody new, are you the one who does orientation with them?
I assist in orientation, but my business office manager does orientation. But yes, I do address that.
And so they review policy and procedures?
Yes.
Are you full-time at the, how many hours do you spend a week?
50 plus. Yeah,
okay.
Depends
so
on.
So it's full-time,
yes.
Sole job?
Yes.
Okay.
And a lot.
Yeah.
124 beds, 102 residents in August of 2022.
I believe some of this is just some miscommunication. Somebody sees something differently, speak up. Give me a proposal.
Motion to issue a letter of concern and then state your concerns so that the court can capture
okay.
it.
Okay. Would you like to do that?
Yes.
Okay. So do the first part of the reading. No. Do the third box down.
I move the board find insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number 0225 against manager Barbara Stein. But issue a letter of concern. Ensuring that proper medication and personnel requirements be complied with under the code.
Second.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we go to item 15, Loretta Rivera.
And, just to help the board out that way, because it's three different cases, it's a little confusing. So what you want to do is just call them in order as you see them. Go through the first one. Once you finish going through the first one, go through the second one, but don't make any motions after until
and
the
then
end.
We can decide if we combine them.
Then you can combine them.
Got it.
Ask for
it's okay. What? We need a break.
5 minute break. Minute break.
Yeah.
5 minute break.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you.
Can you start with complaint number 0372. 15 to start with.
Okay. 936. Yeah.
That's my bad. Okay. Yes. 0209.
Okay, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0209. The licensee is Loretta Rivera, who's present here today. And on February 23rd, 2023, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Desert Palm Adult Care, located in Phoenix. Compliance inspection identified 24 deficiencies in 10 different areas. Three of those deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Rivera was noticed of the complaint, did not provide a written response. March 14, 2023, DHS took enforcement action when they imposed a civil money penalty of $2,000 for 5 substantiated violations, and 3 of those were repeat deficiencies. And Ms. Rivera is here today to discuss that matter with the board.
Okay, and if everybody is willing to hold their questions, we're going to let Phil outline the next 2. And then
if you have questions, you can do them.
Okay.
Yeah, you should hear each one. Just don't make a final motion.
Ah, okay.
Forget
what I just said. No, I would like to do what you just said.
Okay.
Does anybody have questions here on this first part?
Well, one of the questions is how many hours do you spend there? I see you're handling 2 facilities, so how do you juggle that?
I go one day in the afternoon to one, and the next day to the other one. Every day I go in the afternoon.
So how do you explain the 24 deficiencies in 10 areas if you're on top of it?
Okay. In January, I was diagnosed with stomach cancer. I couldn't have the surgery here in Arizona because my insurance would not cover it. So I went to Tijuana. And I have my gastric bypass over there. Unfortunately, I have problems with the anesthesia and I have to stay longer. In the meantime, the designated person was taking care of the 2 facilities. When I came back, I continued having problems eating and holding food. In April, I had a second surgery and didn't clear up my esophagus, and I had cancer in my throat. So I went through chemo, and then in June, because I was losing too much weight, I think they had the second inspection in one of the homes. I was not there because I was also very sick. I had to have surgery, which the insurance here, Blue Cross Blue Shield, accepted me, and I have to have removed all the stitches that they did one day in Mexico so I could eat, but I still have problems with my esophagus. I have surgery in August, too, and I'm going to have surgery on Wednesday again.
You've been at that facility since 2014.
Yeah. But I also
how did you handle all those absences?
Had the designee person that I supposed to be doing the work when I was there. I'm on the phone. I can answer questions on the phone when I'm not in the house. But I try to be there in the afternoon because of the caregivers. Not able to handle sometimes some of the residents or the families have issues. Since I'm the one that have more experience, I have to be there. Even though I might be in one room very sick, throwing up, I have to be
there. Why did you feel the designated caregiver was competent enough to actually run the place in your absence?
Because he's a manager too. So I'm assuming being a manager of the other 2 facilities, he will be able to handle any issues of the home at the time of inspection. But apparently he couldn't. So that's why.
You got a new designated manager since you got medical issues coming up?
I do have a new designated manager. I do have a worker services to do the plan care. Because that was one of the deficiencies. And I do have a nurse that is a compliant officer that comes every week to make sure the books are in order.
Were you ever out of town or out of service for 30 days or more?
No. I was in Mexico for 10 days.
the surgery was supposed to be only 3 days, and then I was flying back, but because I had problems with the anesthesia, I had to stay.
But you were gone for only 10 days. Okay. So at no point you were out for more than 30?
No, ma'am. Every time I go to the hospital, it's 2 or 3 days.
Who owns the facility?
It's owned by Deep Back Care. It's at LLC.
And the other home that you manage, is that with the same group?
Mm-hmm.
The same owners?
The same owner, yes.
Okay. Are there any more questions here for this case?
How come you can submit a written response to the board?
I'm a very sick, sir. I assumed that he was going to do it, and he didn't do it. So
who's he?
The designated manager, Jonathan. So I asked the other designated person, Heather Walker, Heather Phillips, who's the administrator of one of the facilities, to help me with the time corrections.
So who responded to DHS and did all the corrections for the deficiencies?
Heather Phillips.
And was it your expectation that they were going to answer for you to this board? As the manager?
I was talking to them. I couldn't be there 100%, but every place I was talking to them. Yeah, okay. I'm on the phone constantly with them when I'm not on site.
Okay. I'd like to hear the next one.
Okay, if we can skip to 425, because that is also a DHS case.
That's 1093.
Page 1093.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, that's the one that we opened.
Okay.
It might be easier just if we.
You want to do the other one and then come back to that one?
Save this one for last.
Okay.
It's 1116.
Go to 1116,
mm-hmm.
Which will be tag number 0425.
Correct.
What page number?
1116.
Okay,
so complaint 2023-NCI-0425. Licensee is Loretta Rivera, who's present here today. And on June 5th, 2023, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection and complaint investigation at Desert Palm Adult Care 3, located in Phoenix. The compliance inspection identified 10 deficiencies in 5 different areas. The investigative report did not indicate how many deficiencies were identified in the complaint investigation. Ms. Rivera was notified of the complaint, but she did not provide a written response. And on approximately July 13, 2023, DHS enforcement action imposed a civil money penalty of $50 for 3 substantial violations. And Ms. Rivera is here today to discuss the case with the board.
So is this the same house?
No.
Is the other house?
Same house.
The second house. Okay, so this is a second survey.
And I was not present too because I had her surgery too.
Right, okay. So though, will we assume that your answers are going to be similar, that all of this happened because nobody else did what
the manager
is supposed to do?
Are we free to delve into other prior consent agreements? Or
No, that would only be once you determine that you found a violation in this case, then you can look at your prior history. But you need to find a violation in these specific matters before you can look back at your prior history.
So conclude this discussion and then go after that.
Yeah. So does anybody have questions involving this particular survey, same manager, different location, same kind of issues.
Same timeline.
Same timeline, same explanation.
Maybe staff, for the record, do we have an open investigation from the manager designee that she's been talking about?
What is his last name?
It's Jonathan.
Consular?
Consular.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. But that would be for something else.
Yes.
Okay.
No,
understood. Understood. Okay. So now, do we want to hear? I'm tempted to combine these two and then leave the other one standing alone.
I would like to, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
What I haven't heard, board's asking questions, kind of what I haven't heard from you yet is, what is your opinion on these allegations and violations? Did they happen? Why did they happen? What did you do to cure the problem? I haven't. Where do you see yourself going from here?
Well, it's all depends on my health, but I understand the allegations from the health department. Some were associated, but some were not. But I have put Walker services in place to do the channel care, which was one of the citations. And I have the nurse compliance to come and review all the records. So make sure everything is on compliance.
So you agree with these allegations? You think they happen, and they happen under your watch?
I was not.
Are you taking responsibility?
I am taking responsibility.
Thank you.
I am the licensee. I am taking responsibility. Unfortunately, I was not in the facility. I've been in and out. No excuse out of my place, but I thought the person that I had a suggestion to be able to take care of all the issues, and I'm sorry if I thought my
husband. And the designee is also in some review with us as well.
I heard that, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Sorry for interrupting.
No, that's fine. You're still, so we go ahead and hear the third?
Yep.
All right, let's go back then to
0392-1093.
Is the page number. Thank you.
1093.
Okay, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0372. Licensee is Loretta Rivera, who's present here today. And on approximately July 8, 2023, the board initiated this complaint investigation after learning that on approximately June 29, 2023, Ms. Rivera submitted a renewal application for a manager's certificate indicating that on approximately February 8th of 2023, she had pled guilty to a Class B felony for a false statement to the government. She failed to report this disclosure or this incident to the board within 10 days, which was a rule violation. And she's here today to discuss the matter with the board, explain the circumstances surrounding the plea and the false statement to the feds.
I pled guilty to Class B felony in February 8, 2003. On June 8, I was sentenced to one count of false statement to the government agency. Please allow me to elaborate. On February 2, 2021, I applied for a PP loan with the Small Business Administration. Being unfamiliar about the bank process and loan application, I hired somebody that was recommended by a family member to complete the loan application. He completed the application, introduced me to the assistant manager of the local bank for processing. The application contained some errors information. When I contacted
I was contacted by the authorities. I cooperated with them because my application was totally different from the one that he had submitted to the bank. But I signed it, the application, so I pleaded guilty. I was sentenced to 48 months of probation and restitution equal to the amount of the loan. The person I hired completed erroneous loan application for a number of individuals. Because this, the case was filed under seal. I was ordered by the judge not to speak, not to disclose, not to get into any conversation regarding the case because there were so many other people involved, and the FBI still was getting information to indict those people. My telephone was wired, my emails were wired, everything was wired. There was nothing I could do. The only people I was allowed to speak to was my lawyer. And that's the reason I didn't disclose any information to the NCI board because the judge prohibited me. He said that he was still on the record until the person who was at the top of the chain was convicted. He was convicted the first one on April 4, 2021 months in jail. The second one was convicted for 48 months in September 7th. He surrendered. So there's still the investigation is going on because there are still many people that participated in this fraud.
So, okay, I guess I can understand why you didn't say that on our form.
I emailed to Mr.
Allen Emmett. Okay.
Yeah, explaining my situation to him.
You responded to
him. I responded to him,
okay.
Yes.
So let me clarify something real quick. That investigation and what you pled guilty to, you must have ownership in that business.
No, I have a business on the side, a nursing business, nursing services on the side, yeah.
And so that, okay.
Yeah.
Mm. So what, explain to the board what you pled to. What did you plead to? What did you do wrong? And what did they?
I did wrong signing the application because my application was totally different than the application submitted to the bank. The information this person submitted to the bank is not the information I gave.
So you got 2 years probation and order to pay restitution of $149,000 because you signed an application. That's all you did.
That's all I did. Yeah.
Who got the money?
The person that helped me.
Who is that?
I can only give you the name, the initial SS.
You don't even know who the person is?
She's not allowed to.
She's under sanction.
Do you have a copy of this order that you're talking about that you can't talk about? Did the court provide you with something in writing that says that you cannot talk to your state regulatory court?
They only give you a paper when they judge you and say you are being felt guilty. These are the things that you're not supposed to do. These are the things that you're supposed to do. You have a probation officer. Your probation officer will meet with you, and these are your requirements.
So it's in your probation hearing order?
Yeah, in the papers that the probation officer has, yes.
What you do have in front of you, I understand there's a lot of facts that go into it, but what you do have in front of you is a clear conviction for these matters. So that's really what the board needs to consider today is how to dispose of this matter due to the conviction, not necessarily the underlying facts.
You did plead guilty
to sign in the application, yes.
Sir. A Class D felony offense, financial fraud.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Do you have a question?
I have no more questions, though.
Well, no. So the first thing we're going to decide is if we're combining all of this. Are we having a discussion around this, combining it all, and what we're going to do from there?
Did you result on all three of them? Like,
yes.
Right. So this is Member Kidder. I think I'm okay with combining this and then actually making a motion, considering the evidence here. I did hear her say that it sounds like she's trying to get it away from responsibility for signing that document, and that's all she did. She's still responsible. She signed a legal document to ensure that all documentation is correct. I find that troubling that she found herself guilty of only making a signature on a piece of paper.
I hear that concern. I think there's also a concern that if you were not well enough to do the job for our residents that are also unwell and need what we do for their protection, you wouldn't have had your surgeon operate on you if they were sick and out of commission and not doing their job right. So somewhere in there, you didn't do your job right, and you were still trying to perform your job, and it wasn't happening. And that's why you have all of these citations. So the first motion is going to be that we combine these three. Do I need to identify each one?
I would just name them, yes.
Okay. We will combine items 2023 NCI 0209 and 0372 and 0425. That's my motion.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation in ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44611, AACR 4-33-407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaints number, the ones we just stated.
Yes. 0209, 0372, and 0425.
What he said. Against Manager Roberta McGee Rivera. And offer a consent agreement, which would be to voluntarily surrender the certificate.
How many days did it sign?
10 days.
And if not signed, move to formal hearing?
If not signed, we will move to formal hearing.
For revocation.
Yes, for revocation.
Second?
Anyone?
Second.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
So the board's made a motion off the consent agreement for surrendering your manager certificate. We'll send that to you. If you have questions, when you receive it, you can chat with myself or legal counsel. Thank you for coming out today. Appreciate it. We're at the board president's report or vice president's report.
I have a question. Did we actually get through B? Did we vote on B?
Yep. You don't remember saying aye?
Must have.
Yeah, we pulled out. We pulled out a couple and heard them. No. Yeah.
We pulled out a couple of them in B, and then we went right into the
so I have Wally made the motion, Cooper with the second, unanimous vote. Pulled out number 8, which got a letter of concern, that's what I had.
All right.
President's report.
I don't have a report. I'm not that person.
Uh, Ken, did you have anything you wanted to chat with the board about?
I don't know if it would be an appropriate time. A new legislative season is going to be coming up. I think there's a number of things that we would like to run some legislation on for this next year. Do we want to proceed? Do we want to set up Jack and I are going to go through and look at some of the areas. I think one area is opening up some credentialing possibilities for administrator licensure, and also the ability for the board staff to negotiate consent agreements independently. Am I saying that correctly, Jack?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. My suggestion, Ken, is that we have there's a two-prong approach going on right now, and it kind of segues in the executive director report. Legislatively, we've talked to some of the associations. I've floated some of the suggestions that are in the Sunset Letter, which Ken is talking about. There may be some licensing issues with administrators. And basically, I'm in the collection of information mode right now for both statutes and rules. The quicker you get me things that need to be changed, the quicker I can get that into language and then head it down the statutory role for legislature and sunset review, or get it over to the rule writer so we can write rules. I need the stuff sent to me so that I can get it moving.
Ken, I think you need Board President, I don't think that you need a motion for that. I think that the members can just send their comments into Jack on things that, you know, that way Jack can properly agendize it for a future meeting.
Okay. All right, we'll do. And that's all I have.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Executive Director.
I'm making this short today. So far we're doing pretty good, and Denise is going to correct me when I say something wrong. Right?
Oh, sure.
Like you always do.
Right.
Or Eileen, yeah. Budget, 24 is closed. 25 is looking pretty good. We have our fee increase, so segues in the fee increase. The rule writers, we got our approval from the governor's office. So now we can start writing rules for the 22% fee increase. I'm sure there's people out there in the industry that hasn't heard about that, but the rule-making process has all kinds of meetings, notice, so everybody in the industry should know that we're trying to increase fees. Our general follow-up report, I think I sent this out in an email, but we finally got the 42-month follow-up report. We've implemented all of the recommendations. And that is what is being reported to the legislature for this sunset review, two-year sunset review. So that's a plus. Taking us a while to get there, but we finally got there. That's all I have. I don't have anything else unless there's any specific questions. There's nothing that's jumping out at us right now as far as complaints or licensing statistics that I think you need to hear about. All I have. Denise, do you have anything?
I do not. Thank you.
I'm sure that's all I have unless there's questions.
No, I think we're good. Thank you for being here so we have time.
Yes, thanks, Ken. Thanks for,
jumping in.
Can we get a motion to adjourn, please?
Do we have to vote?
You just say it.
Sure.
There you go.
115.
That's not the right way.
We're adjourned.
To Robert's rule.
We're adjourned. You want to vote? All in favor say
aye.
Aye.
Aye.